Cometh the hour, cometh the whale.
The James Whale Show on Talk Radio.
Mr. Hughes, you want to come and talk about your show? Come in here now. Otherwise, forever hold your peace, messing around outside. Don't have to run in that quickly. It says on my running order here, Ian Lee.
Well, I know, but, you know, we want it to be a bit of a surprise, don't we? We can't be just spoon-feeding people.
Well, no. I mean, obviously, it is a surprise. And had I known earlier...
They're a shock.
Yes, yeah.
Well, no, so, I was listening to you, doing your thing with it. Ken Livingstone used to be a regular guest when I did news in London years ago. He used to come in and...
Sit on your talk.
No, well, you know, I put him on the news and stuff, and he was a big figure back in those days, still a big figure now. And I'm thinking he's going to big me up at some point. You know, James is going to say Howard's on from 10 o'clock tonight, bit of a change of plan here. But
I did, actually.
Did you? What did you say? Was it complimentary?
I said, Howard Hughes is on at 10 o'clock tonight.
That's what I said, what you said.
Lovely,
said, didn't I?
I was telling Haley, who's going to be producing me tonight, I found a recording of you in 1974 launching a radio station in Newcastle.
I sincerely hope you haven't got that with you anymore.
And I have to say, you were terribly posh back then, James.
Was I?
You were awfully, you sounded like you come straight out of Central Casting, darling.
Ah, well, that's
life has roughed you up.
Probably because I went to that job from being in the theatre.
Oh dear, were you? I thought you were an actor.
Yes,
before
I went to that job, and I think I was probably very nervous because I was about 21 at the time.
Early start.
21, 22 at the time.
Join me, James Whale, this afternoon from whatever it might be.
Yeah, I did a program called Roundup, a news show, and I was about 21, and I only got that. I think I got that job. Oh, no, that wasn't the one I nicked off you, was
no,
it?
No, that was another one.
No, I still
haven't forgiven you for that.
Have you not? Because he got a job,
years old.
And I turned up and took it off him. Well, I didn't mean to do it.
Well, the boss was very nice at this particular radio station. He said you would have had the job, but for the fact that somebody with much more experience than you, who frankly is better, got the job.
But look what
I think that situation still pertains, don't
you? You ended up with Chris Tarrant.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, well, there we are.
That could have been you.
No, I don't think I could have ended up with Chris Tarrant. I don't think I'm disciplined enough, Howard, to read the news.
Well, you see, there's a certain amount of knowing your place involved. I don't think you could do that.
Yeah, that is a problem. Listen, thank you very much indeed. Enjoy Howard. He's going to be here for the next 3 hours talking complete rubbish, telling you that there are little men living on the other side of the moon and stuff like that. I'll be back. Bank Holiday Monday. Have a wonderful time. Keep it Talk Radio.
No nonsense discussion.
Howard Hughes.
On Talk Radio.
For some reason that I've never been able to work out, they don't like it here when I mime along with the records. They just think it's a bit like dad dancing with your mouth. Well, it's Howard Hughes here with Haley Hayes. And once again, Haley Hayes encouraging me to break the habits of a lifetime tonight on Talk Radio. And you could be part of this extravaganza that we're going to present to you. Normally, well, I may have explained this before when I've been here filling in for Ian Lee on other nights. I'm used to kind of being prepared for what I do when I go on the radio within half an inch of my life. So, you know, like that show that I do on Sunday evenings that Haley, who's here, will not allow me to mention, you know, everything is kind of prepared and ready, and I've got guests and stuff like that. Tonight, we flush the format, as they say. Now, have you ever heard that phrase, Haley Hayes?
No.
In America, they sometimes say, this weekend on this radio station, we're going to flush the format.
Nice.
That means basically that whatever you would have expected to hear, forget it, because we're going to be different. So, I mean, literally, it's, to use another American phrase, it's open lines tonight. If you want to call us with anything, really, 0344-499-1000, hit me with your best or your worst. If you want to tweet, you can use the Twitter at Talk Radio. If you want to text, you can text talk and then a space new message to 87222, and it would be nice to hear from you wherever you are. If you're one of the unexplained listeners, that's great. And if you're one of those people who called the last time that I was on, that would be great too. We explored a lot of new territory last time, didn't we, Hales? Don't you think?
Yes.
I'm calling you Hales now.
Hales.
All right, Hales.
Hales. Can I call you Hales then?
Yeah, well, you can.
What's short for Howard?
People call me Howie.
Howie.
But I think that kind of sounds a bit wet, doesn't it?
Sounds
really
like a baby.
Oh, no. Well, you call me Hauser. You can call me Hauser if you want.
Hauser.
You wouldn't believe what people call me. And that's a fact. When they taught me, well, they tried to teach me journalism. They said, okay, if you want to know stuff, you've got to sit on the bus and listen to people talking. And I was coming in on the train tonight, and I always kind of overhear. I mean, I'm not kind of, you know, I don't lean towards people and say, oh, that's interesting. Hello. Do you know I'm on the radio? And I just kind of listen. There were a couple of guys, there was one of them, they were talking about, and they were old enough to know better, right? They were probably in their 60s.
Yeah.
And they were sitting there saying, oh, I had a skimful. And one of them was saying, the other night, Thursday night, I had 7 pints, he said. So he said, you know how I knew? I got home and there was loads of stuff the next morning in a carrier bag that I didn't know I bought. Do you know I bought cheesy beans? I don't even like cheesy beans. I didn't even know there was such a thing as cheesy beans. Anyway, that's what we're going to do tonight. We're just going to do it as it comes along. So if you want to talk to us, with us about anything, if we can solve a problem for you, we'll have a go. If you've got a weird story that you might have experienced, then we'd like to hear about that too. Otherwise, you're going to get stuck with my life story. And as I've said a zillion times before, my life story takes 3 hours to tell, which is the precise duration of this show. The short version is 1 hour and the long version is 3 hours.
The abridged version.
Well, I've been spilling bits of it out to you for the last 2 years now. No, often.
Yeah, about that. Yeah.
Off and on. So you know many of the stories. But my God, you don't know them all. Should we get our first caller on then, shall we? Eh? No, sir. Alan, where are you? I feel lost and naked without
Alan?
You,
Alan. He must be asleep.
Alan? I'm naked without you. Come on now, Alan. Let's get to subbing brilliantly. Rainbow George. George, how are you, my friend?
I'm still breathing, just about.
Well, I'm glad to hear it, George. I mean, have you been having issues? Your welfare is my concern.
Just feel my life sentence is coming to an end soon, because I think we're all here doing life sentences. We've all forgotten who we really are.
Well, I mean, you can be my grandmother. Here again, I'm quoting my grandmother, but you know, you can see life as the glass half full, or you can see life as the glass half empty, George. And tonight, it sounds to me like you're seeing it as the half empty. How can we help?
No. By having a really nice conversation in which we could go off into the mystic together, Howard. I've been trying to speak to other presenters on this radio station and they just...
No, I think they had some difficulty with your train of thought, didn't they, George?
Yes.
I'm here to deploy for your benefit, my decades of training, okay? If anybody can help you through this, you know that I can.
Well, I really want to tell my story. I mean, this time in 1976, I was...
That was the hottest summer of all time, you know.
Yes.
Okay.
I know it well, and I remember the day it rained, because I met a really interesting guy at a parapsychology conference at the City University.
I remember that day. It was a Thursday, wasn't it?
Was it a Thursday?
Yeah, it was definitely a Thursday.
Anyway, I met this guy called Ted Owens.
Is he still with us, by the way? Because it was a long time ago.
No, there's a book written about him called Ted Owens, the PK Man.
We're talking psychokinesis here. Come on, Haley, don't look so skeptical.
Okay.
Because this is what we do. This is what we do on a Sunday night, psychokinesis.
It's Friday. It's
moving things with your mind. Sorry, George, we were talking amongst ourselves. Yeah. That's quite rude. Carry on.
Ted Owens was in connection with otherworldly intelligences and appeared to be able to control the weather, and he'd been writing to the Queen and saying he'd come over and make it rain, and the day he came over it started to rain. So
have I just missed a crucial point here, Haley? Did I miss a crucial point? Are you telling me that this Ted Owen made it rain?
Owens, yes, where he could make lightning strike specific targets, and there's a lot been.
If I gave him a list of people, could he make that happen for them?
Say again?
If I gave him a list of people to be hit by lightning, could he make that happen?
He was...
I have to say, most of them work for the BBC.
To some people...
Snow? Could he make snow?
Exactly.
Was that too much?
You have to check him out. Ted Owens, the PK man.
The
book was written by somebody who met him at the very same moment.
All right, I'll check him out, but, I mean, time is always short when you're doing a radio show, George. You know how this is. Why are we talking about him 43 years later?
Well, it was the beginning of a mystical trip that I was taken on and lasted for 6 months. And I was...
Sounds like you're still there.
No, I was made to suppose myself to be in telepathic communication with a friend of mine who had died a few years earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd been having a number of experiences of coincidences that just couldn't be coincidences, and my mind was going in the direction that somehow this friend of mine was somehow making these things.
Now, George, where is your mind tonight then?
My mind is on sharing
the front door
with you, Howard, because it's a really interesting story. And if I can't share it with you here, please invite me onto your program to.
All right, George. We'll do that. In the meantime, listen. I want you to have a nice weekend. Will you do that for me?
Yeah, but what
and try and think. Try and accentuate the positive. Don't always think that everything's going to be bad.
I don't think that everything's going to be bad.
I've done for you already.
But just to set this up
minutes.
With you, Howard,
yeah,
if
hello,
I can.
Yes.
Sorry?
No, I'm listening. No, I'm all ears. My grandmother used to say what a fount of knowledge she was. I'm all ears.
Yes, good. Because, as I say, I was taken through 6 months of experiences that got very freaky towards the end of it. And
right, at that point, I think, George... We'll come back to those experiences, but you know, that's that we had a good 9 minutes of George there telling us his experiences.
I think he had his time.
I don't think so. But you know, there's, you know, 1976, it was a long, hot summer, Hayley.
Oh.
My parents told me about it.
I wasn't born in 82, so I just missed 76.
Oh, God.
Did I miss a nice summer?
You were too young for Kajagoogoo then, weren't you?
And I've heard of them.
Too shy. Hush, hush. Eye to eye. See, if nothing's working, then try singing. That's the way we do it. Let's get to Alan. Alan's here. Thank God. Alan, how are you?
Hi, Alan. You all right?
I'm all right, Alan. For a horrible moment, I wasn't. And then they told me that you were on. How is everything? No, it's been weeks since we last spoke.
Oh, no. Ian's having a night off tonight.
I know. Hayley hasn't told me yet. We've got to ask Hayley, what's he doing tonight? Last time he was going to see ZZ Top at Wembley Arena or something.
I think he's just having the weekend off. Long weekend.
Is he?
Yeah.
Does he not know when you...
Back holiday Monday.
Yeah.
Is he back on the...
He's back on Monday.
Is he?
Yeah.
Well, there you are. Dedicated
to
his work.
Yeah,
because last time I played, an old advert for TV Times.
Say that again?
I left home with Howard. We had an old advert for TV Times.
Well, they used to say with the TV... Hayley won't remember any of this, Alan. But they used to say with the TV Times...
Well, there's a good thing about another one queued up so Hayley can hear what we're going on about. This is a bit.
This week's TV Times is a big talk. Winner of the Royal Wedding. Pages of photographs, pages of priceless memories, the ceremony, the scenes at the Abbey, the magic moments, the bride and the groom. And TV Times is also the week ahead on ITVN Channel 4. A tribute to James Cagney, a fascinating survival special. A chance to win one of three cars in a fun competition featuring the PG Chimps. Don't miss this Royal Wedding souvenir issue of TV Times.
Oh, my God.
Brilliant.
There was a competition with the PG. What were the PG tips? Chimps, weren't they? Yeah, I remember them. Cooey, Mr. Shifter. You remember that one, don't you? They're moving the piano down the stairs.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know the piano's on my foot? You have it, son. I'll play it. Sorry. Yes, Alan, you were saying.
Yeah,
but... It was very interesting. That was about 1983, wasn't it?
86.
Okay, well,
yeah. It was Prince Andrew and Sarah Ferguson's wedding.
Ah, yes. I've got some of those little PG tips, little... Bear things. What are they called? The little bear things on my bookshelf. I've got quite a few of them.
Johnny Vegas.
They're supposed to be worth something, aren't they? That's why I'm keeping hold of them.
They were the little chimps who were trained,
weren't
they?
Yeah, the little chimps, that's it. Yeah, I've got a few of them.
And when did they stop doing it? They stopped doing that about 20 years ago, probably more than 25 years ago.
I'm keeping hold of them, just in case.
And you know the monkey that used to, ITV Digital with Johnny Vegas?
Yes.
That's now owned by PG Tips.
Is it what, the original one?
Yeah, the monkey.
How do you know that? They used to call it Monkey. Okay, well, Alan, this is, you know. Now, more importantly, Alan, have we spoken on a Friday night before? I'm not sure, but, you know, I'm just curious. Not in a kind of, you know, not in a prying kind of way, but just curious as to how you're going to spend your weekend.
We briefly spoke on Friday. As a matter of fact, my team won tonight.
Did they?
Villa?
The Villa. And who did they beat and by how much? Not that I don't know anything about sport.
2-0.
Who did they beat? Everton.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm not speaking as a lifelong Liverpool Football Club fan. Did they really? No, we like Everton as well.
Scores were Wedley and El Ghazi.
Great stuff. So that set you up for the weekend then?
Well, Blues are playing on Sunday away at Swansea.
Okay.
That's Birmingham I'm talking about, not Chelsea.
Okay.
So I used to more than one Blues in the Football League, but maybe it could be knocked out.
There used to be a guy on the radio in the Midlands who used to say, what you make to the Villa then?
I think that's Tony Butler.
Tony Butler.
He's retired now.
Has he? Oh, he's a great loss. Great loss.
No, he's retired.
What you make to the Blues then this weekend, eh?
On your bike!
You see, you don't get that kind of thing now. You know, they're all, everybody's, you know, they're too subdued these days. You have a bit of life to them, don't you think so?
I mean, I can do an impressive one, but this number is 9 years since I got 359-4011, that gets you to Butler.
God. Our sister station, TalkSport, needs to hear about you. I think they'd give you a show, Alan. What would you call it if you had your own show? Would it have a title? Alan Caddick's commentary. No.
Well, my specialty is horse racing, and because remember when I did Hustle Radio, I had my show on the Friday afternoons called the Friday Flutter.
You've never told me about that before, Alan.
No, I had my own show on Hustle Radio many years ago.
Who was that guy who used to do the racing commentaries and used to say, yes, it's coming up now. It's going very fast now. It's coming up to Beecher's Brook. It's going
there. Peter O'Sullivan.
Oh, Peter O'Sullivan. Peter O'Sullivan. He spoke like this, and it was a little bit like that, and it was going faster and faster and faster.
A true loss to British racing when he died.
Ah, well, and of course, what's his name? We lost him quite recently, didn't we? Thinking about Bob with the sideburns.
John McCrerick.
Yeah. Nice man.
Big Mac.
So you haven't told me, apart from the fact that you're celebrating the Villa winning against Everton.
It's a quiet weekend. My dad will be watching while I'm at the Edinburgh Military Tattoo on Bank Holiday Monday.
My dad, what's this about dads and the military tattoo? They used to put this on the BBC when I was a kid. And they do the searchlight drumming, don't they? Backwards and forwards. It's a... Isn't it?
They still do. Because I'm BBC on this Bank Holiday Monday.
Okay, and you're going to be watching that then?
No. I'll be watching the new series of Peaky Blinders.
Oh,
I've never seen that. Have you?
I tell you, funnily enough, because I couldn't sleep last night, I think they had Peaky Blinders on BBC Four. They were running reruns.
Yeah.
It's very well acted.
Yeah, because they've got the first four series, which was on BBC Two, but this new series will be on BBC One.
Okay. Right. And listen, for those who haven't seen it, right, sum it up for those who haven't seen Peaky Blinders what it's about.
It's about a gang of family called the Selbys who control the streets of Birmingham in the 1920s.
Does that include the Jewellery Quarter?
They're based in the garrison at Small Heath.
Okay.
Right.
And in the first series, we meet Tommy, who's the leader of the gang, his Aunt Polly, his brother Arthur and John, because they just came back from the First World War.
Can I read about that in the TV Times?
You can in this modern day TV Times. But if it was released in the 1980s, it would be in the Radio Times.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Hey, yes, I remember people forget this. There was a time when if you wanted a listings magazine, as they call them, you had to buy a separate one, didn't you? The Radio Times for the BBC. and the TV Times for the ITV.
And Channel 4.
And Channel 4, when Channel 4 launched. I'm old enough, Alan, and so are you, to remember when it launched.
They merged them all together.
And you could, yeah, you could get ITV listings in the radio time. Why are we talking about this? I'm so sorry. I said, what was the prize, by the way? Did you, in that commercial, there was a prize.
My new car.
Three cars.
Was it cars?
Yeah, cars.
Okay. They don't do that kind of thing these days. They should. Alan, it's nice to have you on.
Great. I'll speak to you soon.
I'll take care, Alan. Haley's waving goodbye. I know you can't see her, but she is. Thank you, Alan. Alan Caddick there. No show will be complete without him. We worry. Well, no, I worry anyway. But if Alan doesn't appear, then we have a problem. And I'm neglecting all of the tweets and texts that are coming in. For example, John says he remembers that day in 1976. You know the one that George was talking about?
Yeah.
Long hot summer when he met a man called Tom Owens, who took him on a psychokinetic ride to... will you next time? about where that went. John says, I remember that day too. It wasn't a Thursday. It was on the day... It was on the day when Allied Carpets didn't have their sale on. Very good job. We like that. And what else is here? How's the table? Well grounded, is it? I think it is. We're talking about, I think whoever this is, anonymous texter, is talking about, seances and... No, we're not doing any of that.
That's Sunday.
No, it's Sunday night, 10 p.m. And I've got a list of great people on, none of whom Haley will let me talk about. But I'll get it in at some point. Our number here, 0344-499-1000. We are Talk Radio right across the UK, round the world, wherever you happen to be. If you are listening in some far-flung corner of the world, I know I say this on Sunday nights, and we get people in Japan and San Francisco, all sorts of places. If you're listening in a far-flung place in the world, we will fast-track you on the air here. Our number in London is 0344-499-1000. That's the way you dial it in the UK. Dialing from abroad, it's 44-344-499-1000. And we are, the last time I checked, Talk Radio.
Controversial conversation and outspoken opinions.
It's how it is
on Talk Radio.
Holly, nice to know you're there tonight. Roger, nice to know you're there. And if you're there, then be here. If that makes sense, does that make any sense whatsoever? Give us a call. I promised myself that I wouldn't say give us a call, and I've just said it. If you want to speak with us, we'd like to speak with you. Otherwise, you just have to hear my life story. And as one person has just pointed out, my life story, 3 hours of it may be more interesting than... I think this is rather harsh judgment, actually, Roger. 3 hours of my life story is probably more palatable, if that's the word, than 5 minutes with George.
Very true.
I can't possibly comment. Let's get to Dreamweaver. Hello, Dreamweaver.
And I'm nothing like Rainbow George, but I do like what he has to say sometimes.
Oh, that's very nice to have you there. Why do you call yourself Dreamweaver?
No, I'm called Dreamweaver. That was my given name.
Really? And what you, yeah. are you like Arnold Dreamweaver?
No, it was given to me by a Native American elder, and I spent time with them over a couple of weeks, and he decided that's what I needed to be called. And I took it on quite a few years ago now, and it's worked out well, and it hasn't.
Well, it got you on here now. How did you get to meet? I mean, look, I've wanted to meet a shaman or a wise person or a Native American elder. How did you get that opportunity?
You haven't met any?
No, I haven't. Well, as far
all
as I know,
all your time.
In this dimension.
Wow! But I listen to you every Sunday. I listen to you religiously on a Sunday. I was near Yeovil in Somerset, well, that sort of county, and they have a bison farm there, and they have a Native American powwow every year.
They have a bison farm in Yeovil.
They have a bison farm near Yeovil.
How many bison do they have there? Because bison are pretty, from what I remember, pretty muscular.
Run. Yeah, they run. But there's quite a few there, and they big land, and they have ostrich, very muscly birds.
I'm just getting this picture in my head of the bison charging through the streets of Yeovil on a quiet Saturday night, pursued by the angry ostrich. And you don't want to upset an ostrich, because when they peck you, you'll know it.
But they make that noise as well, which I kind of was reminded of today, which is like a...
what's that noise again?
Mm. Mm.
Okay, and that, this is a noise that you hear in the streets of Yeovil, do you? On that dark Saturday night.
Well, I'm not living there. I'm living next to a monastery.
Are you?
In Hampshire, yes. Very quiet.
Can you tell? I know Hampshire like the back of my hand. Whereabouts in Hampshire?
Chithurst.
Where?
Along the A272, uh-huh. You go towards a place called Midhurst.
Yes.
From Petersfield, but there's a place called Chithurst. And if you blink, you miss it.
Okay.
And it's so beautiful.
That may be no bad thing. no, it's so lovely. It's lovely out there because you're handy for the Watercress Line Railway, aren't you?
Absolutely.
You see, I don't just sit here saying I know that place like the back of my hand. I used to work down there. I worked everywhere.
I'm living in a room in a house which was in the Doomsday Book. It was the first school room in the UK.
Is it haunted? Please tell me yes.
Yeah, I get knocked away. I listen to your show every week. It is very haunted. There's all sorts that goes on there. In the house, in the rest of the house, there's a lot more that goes on. There's parties and all sorts.
The spirits are having parties.
I get knocking at the door quite a lot.
Oh, sorry, that was me.
I'm sat out in the garden next to an old church, very old church, so, yeah.
Ah, right. So this is, I'm going to have to look this place out, because I know that I used to drive that way, you know, when you go the back way down to Portsmouth, and you go over the, what's the name of that hill that has the naval radar on it? You know where I'm talking about.
Oh, yes,
you go past the Queen Elizabeth Country Park, and then you go up.
QE Park, yeah.
And then you've got the radar stuff, and then if you're at the top of the hill, you look down and you see Portsmouth. So I know that area, but Chithurst, it's a new one on me.
Is it? Oh.
So well, listen,
if you see a garden centre called Ailings, you'll know where it is.
Okay, well,
it's a let's
give
tiny,
another plug then.
But it's very, I tell you what, if you could come here, mm-hmm. I could show you some places in Chithurst that are very, very special, but nobody really knows about it, and I'd love you to know about it.
Has it got a graveyard? Yeah. See, it's got a graveyard where the spirits walk in the dead of night.
It has the grave of Roger, Robert Bolt.
Robert Bolt? What was he? Was he Usain's cousin?
Wasn't he the director?
Was he? No, this is all good. And are spirits unleashed in the dead of night there, in the graveyard in Chithurst?
I sit out here. Very often.
He wrote the screenplay for Lawrence of Arabia.
Oh, right, Robert. I'm so sorry. It's my complete ignorance. He was a very famous man.
How about Ryan's daughter?
Well, how about Ryan's daughter? Mm-hmm. So he wrote that one as well, did he?
Yes.
Okay.
And Dr.
You know that film?
I do. I've seen that one.
I'm living at the house.
And you've never told me. And I never asked you. And that's my first news editor. I used to go back to my first news editor and he'd say, get me a story. What's the answer to this question? Are they going on strike? And I'd say, they didn't tell me. He'd say, you didn't ask. So I didn't ask you what the Native American taught you. What did you learn?
I learned a lot. I was weaving the dreams for my community. And wherever my community is, that's where I was weaving the dreams. And it took me so many years to take hold of that. And now, where I am, I realize that's Dreamweaver. That I'm not the Dreamweaver, I'm just Dreamweaver.
If you're weaving the dreams for people, does that mean that you are deciding what happens to them?
I'm quite an observer of what goes on around me, not what goes on around the world, because I don't have television, I don't do media, I don't do anything, but what goes on, and I listen to your show, and I listen to it very carefully, but I only see what goes on around me, and that's all I can work on, so I have to create the spaces for people, I have to create, because that's what's, I've just been to a festival, beautiful festival in Wales. And
whereabouts in Wales? Mid Wales?
Near Abergavenny.
Oh right, yeah.
It wasn't the Green Man, it was called the Sunrise. But it's very up and coming at the moment because it's very, you know, no rubbish. There's no rubbish. It's just beautiful people wanting to just be part of a community, and wow. It was amazing.
In Abergavenny? When I was a student, my train used to go through Abergavenny, and it used to take about 30 seconds. I'm surprised so much happens in Abergavenny on the way down to Cardiff.
Well, they have the Green Man. They have the Green Man Festival just down the road, and they have the Sunrise at the same time, same weekend, and it's very busy.
So is that a bunch of you sort of dancing around and conjuring up the spirits and the fluence then?
Well, is that how it works? Sitting around fires with people like Bez from the Happy Mondays, who's now very spiritual. And I bumped into him, and people like Matt Haig, the author, sat there at the same time, and we were all talking. It's beautiful. Yeah.
Are you one of these people, Dreamweaver? And I've got lots of respect for them, because I don't think I could be that disciplined, but who thinks that you can change the world by getting together with other like-minded people and concentrating a lot?
I allow myself to be who I am and what I do, and I don't really allow much to stop me, and that's all I can say, is I feel like a Galactic Federation agent.
Did you say Galactic Federation agent?
I did. Listen, yes, I did. Yes, I did, yeah.
You need to get a t-shirt with that one, I think.
I have a t-shirt. I made one while I was at Sunrise, yeah.
You made a t-shirt?
Oh, yes. I have a yellow t-shirt, and I've put the wording on there, yes. I was told by somebody there that I was a Galactic Federation agent. And I thought, okay. And then she told me about Galactic Federation agents, and I thought, God, that's what I feel like. That's it. And I'm just going with it. So yeah.
Okay. You think that you've been told that you're a Galactic Federation agent. Is that why you rang tonight? Are you ringing on behalf of the Federation?
I could be. I feel like whenever I call the radio station, I'm calling on behalf of so many others anyway.
Well, I mean, I like to think you're part of one great big family when you do this, but the Galactic
Federation.
It's like
Rainbow Circle, you know, I'm part of the Rainbow Circle. I don't know if you know about that. They have different land all over the world.
Is that the one with Zippy and Bungle? No, I'm sorry, I'm just really silly now.
Oh, Jeffro.
So what are the Galactic Federation then? Do they have the Starship Enterprise and the Federation? They had a policy of seeking out new life and exploring strange civilizations and boldly going. What does the Galactic Federation want to do?
Well, I think from what I've taken on, and I'm talking seriously now, is it just. Believing that everything around us, every single tree, every single bush, everything, every brick is all a vibration of us, is everything. We are everything. And we are, with technology, everything is taking us away from being with nature, from being without light, you know, from being just allowing ourselves to be, and I think people have forgotten how to do that.
So in your life, have you eschewed...
That's what I feel like.
I know you don't watch telly and stuff like that, but have you eschewed technology then? Do you not have a microwave oven?
I've never had one of those. I would never microwave. I've kept away from it because I don't trust it.
Do you have a car?
No. I was diagnosed epileptic, so... many years ago, so I had a license for about a year.
Okay, so you don't drive?
No, I ride everywhere.
And in your home in Chithurst, do you have any other bits of technology, like, do you have a computer?
No, I don't have a computer. I have a phone to phone you.
That's what life used to be like.
And now I'm learning about the constellations that are out here, because out here there's a light. They cut out all the light. They're not allowed to have lights. So you see all.
Well, it's darker out there. You're in the country. That's it.
Yes, absolutely. And the constellation of Cancer and Sagittarius are together at the moment, and apparently that's very rare. But I haven't been able to find anything else about it.
Do you believe it's causing all sorts of problems for us? Do you believe in astrology? I'm just trying to find your horoscope. I look into that so often.
I dip in and out of it, and I see stuff that says astrology's changed and it's not the way it was, and you need to look at it differently. And I'm
What's your star sign? Do you know?
Well, I'm born, my date of birth is the 20th of the 12th, 1967.
Okay, well, no, I can't do the precise forecast here.
No, 20th I'm of not the 12th, asking you to that at would all, be, no.
Does that make you an Aquarius?
Oh, yeah.
No, that makes me Sagittarius, well, Sagicorn, kind of, is it? Because my oldest son is born on the winter solstice, so it's the 21st of December.
Well, listen, we've got Hayley's. Hayley will do you the Mystic Meg then.
Oh, am I?
For
okay,
Sagis.
Fair enough. So, see, tell me if this means anything to you, right? The sun clashes with the moon, so work and family life needs lots of attention this week. And you handle this in such a smart way that both of you benefit. I don't know why both of you. Oh, right. But if you're single, the way you need to react is just hearing somebody's voice and suggesting that a second try at a relationship could be such a sweet success. Partners may share a makeover prize. Are you with somebody or are you single?
Well, I'm kind of been looking after somebody for 3 years who's very alcoholic, and I've just been caring for them, and my heart's been devoted to them, really.
Oh, that's nice.
But it's recently, only the last few days, I thought I need to step away because I'm 9 miles away from them, and I still want to support them there. But no, I would
and
like to.
And you need
to
a bit of time for yourself, don't you?
But I'd like to give somebody some love.
Well, it does say you need to focus on your work and family life, and your relationships need lots of attention. So there you go. Maybe there is something in it. That was Mystic Meg.
I'm doing very organic stuff here.
You know, I'm living with a lady called an actress called Sarah Miles, but I'm talking very quietly.
Wasn't she famous?
Yeah, she was.
She's okay. Not anymore. I think she still is.
Very much is.
Yes.
Very much, yes. But it's very beautiful.
Well, it's...
I feel like I'm just talking to you two now, but it's very beautiful.
No, well, we've got some tweets in here. You've got at least one fan. Dreamweaver, thank you very much. In Chetter, I promise you, next time I go through Chetterhurst, or next time I'm on that A272, which I know well, I will slow down and I will take in the sights of Chetterhurst.
Please, please do, and please come here, because there's plenty happening here at the Manor House.
Well, no, it sounds like it. Okay, I mean, what are you going to do at the weekend? What are you going to do at the weekend?
I'm actually going to be building a willow and hazel and birch fence, and enjoying a reservoir swimming, so, wild swimming, yeah.
Wild swimming?
Wild swimming. That's a lovely song, actually, by a lady called, I've forgotten her name, sorry. Yeah, Wild Swimming is a beautiful song.
Well, Dreamweaver, thank you very much for being part of this.
No, thank you, and thank you for every Sunday that I've listened to you for the last 3 years. So beautiful.
Please tell them.
Beautiful to talk to you.
Nice to talk with you too.
And thank you for the astrology. Cool. That's got me thinking. Blessings to you both.
Blessings to you too, if I may say so. Matty, thank you for your tweet. couldn't possibly comment. So Dreamweaver.
Yes.
I don't think we found out what his real name is, though. It must be Dreamweaver.
That is his real name.
Mm-hmm.
You asked him that already.
I did.
So that was his real name.
Yes, he did.
So
yeah.
We have to go with that.
But he must have been born something.
He's probably Dave, but, you know.
Dave Dreamweaver. God, I need a long lie down after that. But hey, if you want to call about anything that's happening with you, then we'd like to chew the fat with you, really. It's 0344-499-1000. It's Howard Hughes here, assisted by Hayley. If you want to talk weird stories, you can talk weird stories. If you want to talk about stuff that isn't to do with weird, then we do that too. We can be on the weirdometer. We've got a scale that goes from 0 to 10. And we can be anywhere there. I mean, you know, comfortably we're cruising at 5. But we can be anywhere from 3 to 7. And occasionally up to 8 or 9. Here on Talk Radio.
No nonsense discussion.
Howard Hughes
on Talk Radio.
That was me talking about my show on Sunday. Well, actually, we should be taking care of business here. It's Friday night, heading up for Saturday morning, and the bank holiday weekend is going to be a hot one. Yes, they're talking about in some parts, you know, Hales, Hayley.
Hales.
We've started with Hales.
We're going to continue, aren't
Hales.
We?
You can call me Hales. Would you like to be called Hales, or do you like to be
Hales? I don't mind. Honestly, I don't mind.
You're not one of these people who doesn't like... I've worked with people who don't like their names shortened. I can't, unfortunately, tell you any of them, because I think I'd probably get a bit upset if I told you. But there are people who don't like people shortening their names.
No, I don't mind
I don't
it.
Care what people call me. You know, as long as it's repeatable.
As long as you answer to it.
Hey, bozo. My head flies around, you know. Yes, yes, I say. I don't know. Did we have a song called Dreamweaver? There was a song we had. We talked to Dreamweaver. And I think Amy, who's doing... Amy, you've been very quiet tonight. Amy was very talkative last. Hello, Amy. Hello.
Oh my God, she talks.
Just a little voice saying hello in the darkness. You found a song, didn't you, called Dreamweaver? Only because I asked you to.
I don't know if it's the one you wanted.
Do you want to hear it? Should we play
a bit?
Yeah. I don't know. Who is this one?
Gary White.
Dreamweaver. Best songs here at Talk Radio. It's Gary Wright. Gary Wright.
Have you heard of this before?
Yeah, I know the song.
Oh, this is the one you know.
Hey, I know the song.
Fair enough.
It's a bit like that. What's that geezer who did The Lady in Red? What's his name?
Oh, I know you mean.
I never saw you looking so dreadful as you did tonight. You look like a fright. Well, you know who I'm talking about. The names go, you
Christa
know.
Berg.
Christa Berg. It's a little bit in the same sort of genre as Christa Berg and that Scottish guy who did Year of the Cat, Al Stewart.
Ah.
Or Ali Stewart. Is it Ali Stewart?
Al.
No, it's Ali G and Al Stewart.
Yeah. No. Two completely different people, but you're right.
Listen, you're getting the best of me.
This is the best of you, wow.
So Dreamweaver in Chithurst, that's for you. That's your song. Be grateful. I am. Howard Hughes here, right across the UK, with Hayley Hayes. On the way in tonight, I had one of those things that explains to you, just in something that you see, where you are placed in the scheme of things. And it was a skip, okay? I was walking out of my flat and past some of the other flats, and there was a skip there. And being observant like I am, I looked at the skip. And the skip was full of bits of bathroom and kitchen. You know, skips get full, you know, there's a bit of a door there, there's half a sink, there's the cistern and the ball cock and all the rest of it. And I looked at the stuff in the skip, and the stuff in the skip was better than what I'm using in my flat now.
Oh, did you take some?
That, I think, is a sign of failure in life, don't you think?
I would have taken it. Why not? I've left it out.
Funnily enough, what's the law on that, by the way?
There was a cupboard. Left it out, then you can take it.
My cupboard door's got that formica stuff on it, you know? And when it gets, you know that plastic covering on the wood chip? And when it gets wet, the wood chip peels, right? And
it
looks horrible.
Yeah.
There was a very nice wooden door there that was just the right size.
I would say if it's still there when you get home tonight, you take it.
Do you think you should half inch
there? I think you should.
No, I just thought it was a metaphor for life, really. That the stuff in the skip from one of my neighbours having their home redone is better than the stuff that I've got in my bathroom and kitchen now. Does that place me in the scheme of things?
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's get Des on. Not a moment too soon. Des, how are you?
Hello, how are you, sir? I'm okay, thank you. All the better for speaking to you and to Hayley as well.
Is this Kingston on Hull you were at?
Kingston upon Hull.
And that was the east. That used to be the East Riding of Yorkshire.
That's correct. Well, Humberside as well, North Humberside at one time, yes, it was.
So what's going on there tonight, Des?
What's going on tonight? Well, I was out earlier with a friend and just not really that much, but we had lots of philosophical conversations, which links in with some of it with what you were talking about earlier. I suppose some of us believe that if we concentrate our energies in a positive direction, we hear all this stuff. And your metaphor about the skip is quite synchronous, really, because there's a sort of recycling. It's recycling that could have been for something better.
Well, it will be later. When I have that door, it will definitely be recycled. We're having it away with that. Sorry, you were saying this.
Yes, sorry. You know, we're hearing all the negative stuff at the moment in the news, the Amazon rainforest burning, you know, the sort of war, problems with the world. But perhaps if enough of us can concentrate our energies, and there are groups of people, I believe you were talking to a chap earlier, he's one of them.
Well, there was Dreamweaver, and there was Rainbow George. He was on, who's always been into all of that stuff, and always will be, I suspect. But I think the problem with it is that I personally am aware of a lot of people around the world who say that they are, I mean, some of them say we are light workers. We are working with the light, and we are going to save this world from economic collapse, social unrest, and climate change. But the trouble is they have targets and aims to do it, and they keep getting moved further and further out. In other words, it keeps not happening. Or am I just a cynic? Maybe I am.
Maybe.
We could...
Listen. Are you one of those people, Des? Do you think that by the power of positive thinking, and I'm a great believer in the power of thought. I can give you umpteen examples in my life where I've actually used it or believe that I've used it. So I'm not poo-pooing it. I'm not knocking it. But are you one of those people who thinks that by getting together, thinking positively, then you know the world's economy is not going to go down the toilet in the next 2 years, which a lot of economists think it is going to.
You were telling me it is now. Just outside, we were having a chat.
We were watching some financial news, yeah. And the Dow, I think in America the Dow's been down again, and it was down again I think a week or so ago. And there are various commentators who say that the global crash is coming.
Yeah.
I don't want to frighten you. But anyway, Des, about you, Des. Do you think that people can change that by having a different mindset?
I'm not too sure about that, because I think things like the share companies and all these stock markets, these are all human constructs anyway. And we're more than that. We're not just financial beings. We're not just political beings. We're not just economic beings. We have a lot more potential. And
I agree with you. We do. We have a lot of potential. The problem is that most of us have to spend our lives working for the man, and we don't get time to realize our potential. It may be argued.
There was a chap once, and this is a question I was going to bring up with you. A chap called John Lilly. You may remember him from the 60s.
John Lilly.
John C. Lilly. And he talked about how people could free themselves. It was a controversial process he used. At the time, LSD was, and I'm not advocating that, it's a very dangerous thing, and I would say to any listeners, be careful.
Well, I'm glad you said that before I did.
Yes, thank you. But what I was trying to say was, but he did lead some incredible insights into communication. I mean, he was, some of the research he did into sort of human-animal communication, he was a chap, I think the American, some Department of Defense, they took him seriously with his dolphin communications. And,
well, I think those things do happen. You know, people laugh at me when I... There was a wonderful thing that happened, and I'm sorry I'm talking about my stories, but there was a wonderful thing that happened to me earlier this year, and I was having one of my contemplative days where life was not going, as it periodically doesn't, too hunky-dory for me. And I always go to the local park where I do my thinking, and I take my bike, and I sit by the cricket pavilion there, and, you know, I'll have a bottle of water and a cheese and tomato sandwich, and contemplate the world. Now, there was one particular day a couple of months ago. He's off, Haley says he's off telling stories again, I'm sorry. There's one particular day earlier this year, and for some reason, dogs make a beeline for me, okay? When they'll avoid other people and come to me. Well, there was one particular day when I was feeling rotten and miserable and thinking, what's the point? It was one of them days when, and this is a true story, this spotty dog, a brown and white dog, with long floppy ears. I don't know what is that, some kind of spaniel, is it? I don't know. Anyway, he was that kind of dog. And this is the truth. He comes right up to me, and I've never had a dog do this before. And he looked at me as much as to say, you need cheering up. And he had a ball in his mouth, a big blue ball, and he dropped the ball at my feet and then looked at me in the way that a dog that you own and have had for years will expect you to throw the ball and it'll bring it back. This dog did not know me from a bar of soap. So he dropped the ball, and he then sits down and starts looking at me. I think, okay, I better get with the program then. I pick the blue ball up, and I fling it as many yards as my poor, weak, arthritic arms could manage into the park. The dog goes hairing off, gets the ball, comes back. That was me, by the way. drops the ball at my feet, and I do it again. And we do that about six times. It cheers me up no end. I stop worrying about my problems. And then the dog looks to his right and thinks, oh, God, I came here with somebody. Where is that person? And runs off. Now, if that wasn't animal communication, there I was sitting there by myself thinking, oh, God, what a rotten day. And the dog comes up and my life changed in the space of a couple of minutes. So I think those sorts of things do happen, Des. Sorry, look at me barging into your conversation here.
No, that's brilliant. I think the Earth is a giant supercomputer. I honestly do. And I think there are things going on which we think we have control about, but we're only scratching the surface. And I think, as you said, that form of communication was meant to be for that period of time in a difficult, possibly difficult.
Maybe so. I mean, maybe those things happen. I don't know. You said that you think we're all controlled by something bigger than we are. Do you think that's like...
I didn't say that. John C. Lilly actually believes there's a cosmic, coordinated, something or another, galactic center of control. But other people think he just blew his mind on acid.
Okay, well, a lot of people came up with conclusions like that. But then a lot of people who weren't, you know, doing drugs also came up with conclusions like there is more to this cosmos, more to the universe than we actually see. Well, I think there's probably some truth in that, but I have no proof. And I suppose that's what we're both looking for, isn't it? We're both looking for proof that there is something bigger than we are. And every so often something happens that proves maybe that life is not just random. It's more than that. I don't know. What do you think of that, Des?
I think it's a very good analysis, sir.
But I don't know. I interview people. I was interviewing one the other day about superior civilizations, a man called Dan Farkas, who is Romanian, I think, or Bulgarian, very, very intelligent man for my podcast, which I promised Haley I wouldn't mention, so I won't mention the podcast, available at theunexplained.tv. And I was in, we're not going to release it for a couple of weeks yet, but he was talking about how there are he calls them hyper-civilizations, and we are just not exactly an experiment. But we are being observed and monitored, was the word that he used, by something that exists on a level way beyond us. I'm doing my unexplained voice now. You notice that? Dylan exists on a level way beyond us. We will take control of your radio. It may flicker. It may go up in volume. It may go down in volume. Suddenly, your radio is beyond your control. I think there used to be a TV program, The Outer Limits. That was the TV program. So anyway, Des, what are you going to be doing? Having had such a deep and spiritual conversation, what are you going to be doing in Hull this weekend then, assuming you're staying there over the weekend?
Yes, I'll just be relaxing, having time off work, meeting friends, meeting family, trying to attune with this.
And making some progress, I hope, to changing the planet.
I hope so. We need it. We need it, brother.
I think we do need a bit of something. I'm not entirely sure what the something is, and that is why I keep questing, and so do you, Des. Thank you very much for calling. Des.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
In Hull. By the big bridge, which if you ever, I recommend everybody sees the bridge there, the Humber Bridge, because it's a marvellous thing, because the land is quite flat as you approach it. It's a long story we haven't got time to tell, but when my dad retired from the coppers, he became regional security for Comet. You remember the discount warehouse chain? And they were based in Hull, and every so often he'd have to drive me right across the Pennines, and we'd go all the way across, through Manchester, through Leeds, and out to Hull. And you see for miles off this tower, great important looking thing, and that's the Humber Bridge. So there,
I'll have to go one day,
give you a bit of geography as well, you know, on a Friday night.
Education.
Here on Talk Radio, if you want to talk about anything with us and Haley, then you can. 0344 499 1000. Howard Hughes and Haley Hayes, that's four H's, count them, here on Talk Radio. Stay with us, okay?
Controversial conversation and outspoken opinions.
It's Howard Hughes
on Talk Radio.
Hit me with your rhythm stick. Hit me, hit me. Je t'adore, ich liebe dich. Hit me, hit me, hit me. Hit me with your rhythm stick. Hit me slowly, hit me quick. Hit me, hit me, hit me. In the wild.
and the vineyards of Bordeaux. Eskimo, Arapaho, move their bodies to and fro. All together now. Hit me with your shovel, Mick. Hit me. Hit me. It's good. It's liberty. Hit me. Hit me. Hit me. Hit me with your rhythm stick. Don't be a lunatic. Hit me. Hit me. Hit me. Somewhere in my garage, in my garage, I've got the 12-inch single version of that, which is probably worth these days.
Ooh.
A garage load of money.
Keep hold of that.
And what was the Stiff Records record label? Very famous. Back in the 70s. You won't remember any of that. 0344-499-1000. There's our number here at Talk Radio. It's Howard Hughes in for Ian Lee, off my usual gig. And it's very good because I don't have to kind of research stuff. You know, like on Sundays, I have to go with a head full of stuff, head full of knowledge, and then ask questions. And it's so nice not to have to bother doing that. And if I did, Hayley would kill me anyway. Let's get to Alistair in Gainsborough, Lincolnshire. How are you, Alistair? What's going on?
Very well. How are you, Howard?
Well, all right, thank you. Nice to have you on. So what is occurring in Gainsborough?
Hayley's there as well, is she?
Yeah, no, we're both here.
We're all,
as my grandmother used to say once upon another phrase, we're all ears.
Now listen.
And I'm listening.
Does Hayley have to ring the phones as well as be on the show?
No, Amy's doing that for us.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And to tell you the truth,
Hayley's worried that you were being overworked.
No, I don't
have to run in between the rooms. I'm all good.
No, she's been painting her nails for the last 20 minutes, for God's sake.
Just sitting with my feet up, not doing
call it production.
Tonight.
Oh, I don't know, really. It's money, money for old rope, I'd say, Alistair. So I think we've satisfied you on that point, though. We're both here and both being sick.
Yeah.
And so what is occurring in Gainsborough? I know nothing about Gainsborough. I'm sorry, I should. There was a time in my life when I used to do commercials on a radio station that broadcast in your area. And I used to be a voice of car dealers, and there was a security company and a local electricians that I used to do. I say, if you want your house rewiring, call Gainsborough, whatever it might be.
You should come back to us, Howard.
I probably will be. So what prompted you, as they say on the BBC, but then that's what they're like, what prompted you to ring?
Well, I know that you've just been talking about kind of things that are above us and ruling us from afar. Well, I truly believe, and you may have heard this theory many times before, that there is a band of people, a group of people called the Illuminati, that actually control everything in this world. But they're not aliens or anything, they're just like normal human beings, but are extremely wealthy, extremely powerful. But they control everything. They control the politicians, and they control the balances all over the world.
But in a way, that is kind of the way that, you know, the world economy works, isn't it, really? That those people that you talk about, the ones who've got elevated positions and they've got loads of money because they've, you know, they get themselves elevated positions because they have lots of money and they control things.
Yeah.
You know, they would be in control of everything even if there wasn't a thing called the Illuminati, don't you think?
Well, I think there's a difference between very rich people obviously controlling most aspects of their own lives, but they say they couldn't control communities like far away across the world. So this Illuminati even controls that.
And do you think that, you know, the Bilderberg group, which is a meeting of the great and the good government leaders and other important people, they meet in great security and secrecy, and everybody says, that's all to do with a secret cabal here, and they're determining what becomes of the world, and we are not getting to know anything about it. Do you think that's all tied in?
That is. That group does meet, although the people I'm talking about don't ever go there themselves. They're on the phones, if you like. So they keep their distance away from that particular group. But that particular group is like a working party for them, if you know what I mean.
Mm. Now, if the world's economy, as some of these experts are saying, is rapidly heading down to Kazi, as they used to say on Steptoe and Son years ago, is rapidly going south, do you think that these people have decided that's what's going to happen?
Yes, because they make plans for the different cycles of the economy. They make plans years and years in advance. So obviously we had the financial disaster in 2008. This is sort of coming up to the next one. So I'm imagining that they're going to be thinking about a recovery probably in another 10 years' time.
Hmm. Well, yeah, I get what you say, but I remember back in 2008, I was doing, as I spent most of my career doing, I was doing news bulletins on, I can't even remember which radio station it was. I'm sure it was a very good one, whichever one it was. But I remember, one of my great friends is a guy called Justin Urquhart Stewart. You will see him on Sky News. You'll hear him on the radio all the time talking about finance. And I've known Justin for 20-odd years or more. And, you know, I go and train his staff in broadcasting, so whatever I know. But, yeah, I go and train his staff in broadcasting stuff. I remember him in 2008 or just before that saying to me, "Oh, Howard, there's something here that you need to be aware of. It's called subprime lending." And I said, "What's subprime lending, Justin?" And he explained what it was. And that, of course, was the thing that pulled down the economy in 2008, they say, because there were all of these bad loans that were packaged up and then sold on through the financial system. It was all smoke and mirrors because the bad loans were loans that probably shouldn't have been given in the first place, but they were all packaged up in a little bow and sold on once more. And, you know, a few people were laughing all the way to the bank, literally. It was all going to end in tears, and it did. But I don't know whether that was anybody's plan. That was just a bunch of people who were able to get away with something because it was within, you know, it was within the way things were done. We didn't know any better. We do now.
Well, I suppose it's how you look at it, because, by the way, that whole business is very nicely put in the dark comedy, The Big Short, which I don't know if you've heard about.
I have got the DVD still in the wrapping, and in fact, funnily enough, I had to pick it up off my bedroom floor today because I was going to watch it late one night, and I just haven't done it. So it's worth watching, is it? This is the story of how it was all engineered.
I think it's brilliantly done. It's done very well. It's kind of, you have to watch it a couple of times because the actual financial shenanigans are quite complex, especially in the way they describe how these bad loans were actually sort of refinanced into different bonds, which were then sold on and sold on and sold on.
But the whole thing was like building a house on sand. None of it had any foundations. It was all bound to come tumbling down.
By the fact that, you know, when the actual people on the front line were taking applications from potential house buyers for mortgages, these people weren't even checked, so that they would, instead of giving their own name, they'd give the name of the dog on the mortgage application.
And, you know, you might think that what Alistair's saying is a joke, but those were the sorts of things that were happening. You know, money was just being given out like confetti, and the whole thing was destined to collapse, which indeed it did. And we've all, you know, it's not controversial to say, we've all been paying the price for it for the last decade. And the prospect now is that that it's going to happen, well, something akin to it is going to happen again, where we face an economic slowdown. Some people in America are saying, this guy called Gerald Celente, who's a commentator who I used to have on my podcast a lot, saying that it's all going to come tumbling down fairly soon. I mean, look, it probably won't happen, but this is what's being predicted. But what you said at the beginning of this, to bring you back to the beginning of where we started this, is that you think there's a plan there, and these cycles that we go through are engineered. They're designed. They're not just things that are random.
I think so, because, before the actual financial crash, if you look at the 90s and the 2000s, that stemmed from the 80s when basically this was the start, when everyone was being pushed credit. Do you remember when Maggie Thatcher, Ronald Reagan discussed all this economics? Sort of basically take off the normal checks and balances in the system and just let it run riot.
Well, you know, that's another thing. That was deregulation. That was the big bang, I think, in the city that we're referring to, where it was all turned into electronic trading. For years, they'd all been standing around shouting each other down on the trading floor of the city of London and in New York. That was part of that. But, you know, I don't know. I have yet to be convinced, although I think there is a possibility that there is some group bigger than any of us that makes the actions of ordinary Joes like you and me, like voting and stuff like that, that makes it, that some people argue makes it irrelevant. You know, the saner part of me says that can't be so because, you know, we're in this Brexit situation. Please let's not talk about that tonight because I've had enough of that this week. But, you know, that's why we are in this situation because people had the right to make a choice, and a choice they made, and you know we're seeing the outcome of it now with a new prime minister. So you know, if there was a big global cabal, if that's the word, controlling it all, then things like that wouldn't have happened because I doubt that that was in their plan. I don't think David Cameron went into the referendum thinking we're probably going to lose it. He went into it thinking we're probably going to win it, and we're going to come out stronger.
I don't know.
Politics. I mean, I have to say. Sorry, you're saying.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, I don't have any proof of this, you know. I just really believe it. I know there's been the idea of an Illuminati as such since, for hundreds of years.
Now, more importantly than any of this, and one of my listeners, I'm trying to find out who it was now, was saying the gay, I'm sorry about that, whoever you are. Oh, Steve, it's Steve. Hello, Steve. Steve says that Gainsborough was the capital of England and Denmark in 1013 for 5 weeks, apparently. Do you know anything about that?
No, I don't, but I believe him.
No, I don't. Well, I need to check this out. Hey, what's your story? We're doing horoscopes tonight. Well, Hayley's doing horoscopes tonight. What's your...
Yeah.
We're just reading them off Mystic Meg. What's your star sign?
Hayley.
Go on, what's your star sign?
Libra.
Libra. Okay. An ability you never suspected you had will come to the surface when you are given an important role in an entertainment event. Maybe this was it.
This is the one.
Maybe this was the moment. Oh my gosh, this is too spooky. It may take just a gentle heart-to-heart conversation to find out how partners feel about each other, then formulate exciting plans for the future. Single? Initial R is a hot love clue. Are you single or are you with someone?
No, I'm very much single.
Well, you need to look for somebody beginning with R, then. Rebecca?
Rosie? I'm a recovering alcoholic.
Right. Royalty?
Ruby? Think of all the R's.
Rowena would be a lovely...
That's
I think
nice
that's
name,
a lovely
isn't it,
name.
It's a name you don't hear every day these days.
You need...
It may be big in Gainsborough, I don't know, but I haven't met a Rowena for many a long year. Alistair.
Anyway, it's great talking to you, Howard.
Nice talking to you too, Alistair. We've been rightly round the houses this time, haven't we?
We have, and I'll try and get to listen to one of your horror shows, are they called, on Sundays.
Well, some people have many words for it. Horror show is one word. I like to think that it's a great big mash of stuff that you don't get to hear elsewhere. And, you know, it's a shame because some of it is stuff that you will hear, maybe in a year, maybe in 2 years, in the mainstream news. It just so happens that we are ahead of the curve, I think, you'll find, Alistair.
Oh, I would give it a listen. What time is it? 10 o'clock?
10 o'clock, Sunday night. The whole world is here. Take care, Alistair. Thank you.
Cheers, thanks. Bye.
Alistair, in Gainsborough, Lincolnshire. Kyle is there. Hello, Kyle. Nice to hear from you. Call in, Kyle. Let's have a chat. 0344-499-1000. Paula, I'm sorry I didn't mention you before. Paula in Blackpool, regular listener, been in hospital, now recovering, I think, and I hope recovering well. And Paul and Sharon in Farnborough, Hampshire. Nice to know that you're there, too. If you want to tweet us, you can tweet us on the Twitter at Talk Radio. One of the things I was going to talk about, perhaps, potentially. We're going to take some commercials in just a moment. I'm just going to throw this into the mix, if this is okay. Because it's an anniversary of something that caused me an awful lot of pain. Well, not pain, anguish. More anguish than anything else. After years and years of having my arm twisted, is it 2 years, is it 3 years ago at this time of year? I think it was just the very beginning of September. I allowed myself to go back to Liverpool to a school reunion and meet a whole bunch of people I have not seen for decades. Yeah. Okay, the last time I saw any of them, I was doing the school disco. It was the leaving disco.
Oh, you would have been great, wouldn't you? I can just imagine you doing that.
I don't think.
What was your
great
DJ name?
I don't think. No, I was always Howard Hughes.
You didn't have a DJ name?
Well,
like
I did have
Howard on the decks or anything.
I had a white suit. I did. I had a white suit and a stripy blue shirt.
Did you have lights? That's what I want to know.
No, the school had lights. No, the school put the lights up. I had an amplifier, a couple of decks, and I thought I was the Emperor Tesco. I thought I was, you know, fantastic. And, you know, and in fact, I was actually very silly. So silly was I, that the night of the school, I was talking about reunions, but the night of the school disco, what I thought was the night of the school disco, I've told this story before, but it's worth hearing again, and I tell it against myself. My poor dad drove me with all my gear in the boot of his car to the school to do the school disco. We were all leaving, okay? We got our A-levels, those of us who got them, and we were leaving, and I was doing the music. So I turn up there, and my mother had pressed this suit, so I looked like John Travolta's cousin Ernie. And I looked, you know, I had a pair of shiny shoes and this shirt that was starched within an inch of its life, and I was carrying my gear down the path to the school. And the caretaker of the school, whose name was Jock, because he was Scottish, came out and said, "Hello, Howard, you're doing the disco. You know it's tomorrow night, don't you?"
Oh, you're kidding.
So I had to go back. And my mother said, "What have you come? What's happened? You've come back." I had to take all the stuff out of the boot of my dad's car in Crosby, and I had to go back the next night and do the disco hope that nobody... Anyway, school reunions. I had my arm twisted to go to a school reunion, and I have to say it was the single most uncomfortable experience of my life. Well, there have been others, and they've all been uncomfortable, but this was up there with them. And I remember sitting in the car at the end of it all, at the top of Holden Road in Crosby, where I was brought up, funnily enough. They were holding it in a very nice restaurant come diner called La Barbacoa, I think it's called. It's called La Barbacoa, but people in Liverpool call it La Barbacoa. And we had a nice time there. But unfortunately, it's probably better not to go back.
Oh, really?
Well, I think so.
Did you not see anyone that you went, wow, can't wait to find out what they're doing now?
My lovely teacher, Miss Jones, was there. She was lovely. I wouldn't have done anything in my life. If I've done anything that's worth it in my life, I wouldn't have done any of it without her for believing in me, because I was in the bin educationally, and she helped me. She was one of those great teachers who helped somebody to see that they could actually do things and pass exams, because I thought I was just, because, you know, life had conditioned me and a lot of us in Liverpool to thinking there's nothing down for you, lad. So that's the way I thought of it until I discovered. So she was there. It was nice to see her. But then everybody else had changed, and it was quite, you know, the ones who you liked have become the ones wouldn't want to spend any time with. And some of the ones that I never spoke to, I actually spent the evening chatting to. But I'd really rather have left it on that long, hot summer night many years ago when I did the disco. So anyway, look, school reunions or work reunions, have you ever been to one? And has it been good? Or has it been a disaster like the one that I went to? And I ended up, there was a barber shop round the corner, which is still there, called Toll, round the corner. If you live anywhere, if you're in Middlesbrough, this will mean nothing to you. But round the corner in Crosby, there's this very famous barber shop that's been there for decades. And as school kids, we used to go to Toll the Barber. My car was parked on the pavement outside Toll the Barber. And after this reunion, I sat in my car saying to myself, never ever again. So I don't know whether I've portrayed that adequately to you. But have you been to a reunion, and have you been pleased that you've seen all the people again? Or have you thought, I'd rather have parked things where they were? Your thoughts on that. Or anything else. 0344-499-1000. We're going to be speaking with Lewis coming next. Stay here.
No nonsense. No prisoners. No substitutes.
Howard Hughes on Talk Radio.
What does he do? What's his name? Oh, thank you, Fat Liz. If you don't remember Euro 96, then you haven't lived. That was one of the songs that was the anthem, Hayley. You were probably only about 12 then.
No, I was 14.
Okay.
But yeah.
Oh, right. One of those. Anyway. 0344-499-1000. Get on the blower and get on the blower. Sounds like Parker from Thunderbirds. Get on the blower and talk with us here, milady. And we'll have a conversation with you, which we're going to do with Lewis now. Hello, Lewis. Thank you for waiting. Sorry, while I was rabbiting on saying nothing, you had to wait. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you guys?
Oh, we're good. Where are you, Lewis?
Well, I'd like to say I'm in Manchester, but the town I'm in Roche is Rochdale, so take that as you will.
Rochdale's like all right. It's
positive. This is what I want to get into, because I'm more of a young chap. I'm actually in university. I'm going to my last year.
Mm-hmm.
And,
as they say at uni, what are you reading? What are you studying?
Actually, media. So,
okay.
So,
what do they, listen, I'm out of touch with all of this stuff.
What do they teach you?
Yeah, exactly. Cause, you know, when I got into radio, I started by making tapes at home and trying to get on the air on my local station in Liverpool, which I eventually did. And then they said, you're not going to be any use to us, lad, unless we train you as a journalist. So they sent me away to train in journalism at, in Cardiff. But when you do a media course, what do they teach you? Do they teach you how to write? Or stuff, or how to broadcast?
Well, it depends what you're doing. I mean, I don't really want to mention where I go, but where I go, it's diverse in what you want to do: sound, audio, you know, TV, radio, and things like that. Luckily enough, for next term, well, I have to just say anyway, I'm at Salford, so next to the BBC, ITV, and stuff like that. Yeah, it is. It's really good. When people go, oh, you're doing media, that's because I have mates who are like, doing law and doing other degrees, which are classed as proper degrees, I go, well, actually, you know, I'm doing something and it's more practical, it's more hands-on. But as you know, guys, it's about connections and all that lot.
And you've got it. The truth is that these days you've got to learn it somewhere.
Yeah, you do. I did hospital radio. Uh-huh. I started in that and that kind of, I came out of acting because I didn't really want to do that. Then did hospital radio and then just did other things as well. And I had little stints in things, but yeah, I mean, I'm wondering if I want to go into it myself. But what I would say is, with my age, mm-hmm.
So what are you now? Are you 19 now? 20?
21. Okay. Yeah. So I'm probably more in tune. I'm not looking forward to the future. Well, the future holds, because I just look at the world right now. It's very doom and gloom. And that's how I see it. And I know a lot of people my age see it that way. Either annoyed at the, you know, generation afterwards and what they call the boomers and stuff like that. I'm not like that, to be fair, but they kind of blame all of you guys for it, really.
I hear what you say. You're of the generation that takes the view that, you know, the world has been screwed up and, you know, we are the people who did it.
No, it's not that. I think... Yeah, there's going to be, I mean, people in my generation that are obviously going to screw up the world even more. So I can't say that. However, I just don't think it's a good time at the moment. It's like,
job. What I'm going to say now is going to sound really, really glib, and it's going to sound like, you know, hey, but you know, the world is what you make it, which is like, could be construed as being just a complete throwaway comment. And I actually mean this seriously, that you and your generation can grab hold of this mess, if it is a mess that we're in, and make it anything you want, I think. I see limit. When I look, mostly, when I'm not in one of my down times, but mostly I look at the world and I see possibility. I would never have survived doing this job, if you can call it a job, for all of these years if I didn't think that way. And I think you're too pessimistic about it, Lewis. I think you can change it. You know, if you want it to be different, then make it different. As Jean-Luc Picard said, make it so.
fair play, to be honest with you. I like Euro, by the way, I like the Euro 96 song. I recognise that. And I love how you put your name in there as well. Brilliant. I would say that.
I was working with Chris Tarrant.
Yeah.
Did I mention
that? I do agree with you. I am a bit too pessimistic, it probably seems. However, you know, I am trying to be positive as well. So I recognise my own faults. I'm trying to improve on them. But it's like, do you know, for a part-time job, I've applied for one at the cinema, local cinema. So I was doing it through Indeed.com. And you have to go through absolute hoops and roundabouts to even, like, get even past it. So I had to upload my CV. That should be enough. No, I had to get questions from the employer about why I want to join the cinema. I had to do a 300-word reason why I actually wanted to work there.
Gosh.
Okay, and what did you say? I don't know what you'd be doing at the cinema, but what did you say?
Well, you have to bluff it, don't you? Or whatever the word is, you know, bluff
it,
really.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I'm realistically, I'm going to be picking up the popcorn, I'm going to be just going around, mopping things up, serving customers, and customer service is great and everything, so...
But I guess, you know, it's always been that way a bit, though. But, you know, back in my day, and that's 1,000 years ago, they'd have you sitting there and they'd ask you, you know, they'd say, why do you want to, you know, you'd be going to a place you didn't really want to work. And they'd say to you, why do you want to do this? And you'd say, well, it's something I've always been interested in. You know, I've been interested in this since I was 5. And I think that's part of it is the way that you carry it off, I think. You know, if you carry that off stylishly, then you're in. And you know, all things are a stepping stone to other things.
Yeah.
I sound like your grandfather now, don't I?
Yeah. No, it's true, though. It's true. One thing I will say is I'm one of these people that understands that there is, and this is my view, and you can tell me otherwise what you think, but when I go into a job and there's someone older than me, I'll know my place. So basically, I will be like, you know, take stuff which they don't want to do realistically. And then, because I'm thinking, well, I'll be in a position one day of that, and then I'll probably be saying, go and get me a coffee or go and do this. But in a polite tone, obviously. So I do understand that kind of way. However, I'm personally not really looking forward to it. However, you have brightened my night up with your lovely voice and
I think we've got the most important question, right? And you know, time is always ticking down on us on the radio. But the most important question, I think, for somebody in your position is, and this is a question for you to ask yourself, what is it that I want to do, ultimately? And if, you know, one of the problems, I used to have an awful lot of people coming in as, like, work experience and helpers and people like that. And I hope that, you know, whenever I've touched their lives, if I did, I've helped them on their way, maybe by advising or maybe by doing little bits of training or whatever. But the most important question is what you want to do. And if somebody comes in and says, well, I want to do media, that's not going to get anyone anywhere. You have to, when I was a kid, you know, I know there were trams. And,
we need
you know,
the Hovis music
and
now.
There was
don't
a
we?
Horse-drawn bus. God. Yeah, but when I was a kid, you know, I wanted to be on the radio. And I tell you the truth, I started by wanting to be somebody who played records on the radio. It was my great ambition. And the radio station in Liverpool said, you know, you've got an education, lad, go and be a journalist. And I fought against that for a bit, and then I realized they were probably right. But I wanted to broadcast on the radio more than anything else. There are people listening to this now saying, God knows why. But I did. And because I wanted it so much, whether it's the law of attraction or whatever it might be, you know, I didn't come from the right side of the tracks, no way, no how. But it came to me. And I think if you have a clear idea of what Lewis wants to do, then I promise you, I have never known anybody who didn't want a thing strongly who didn't get it. And I think if you've got a clear idea, and before you go, I want you to tell me roughly what you want to do. If you program for it enough, whatever course you're on, whatever stepping stones you take on the way, it'll come to you. So what's the aim?
Probably go into TV, like production role or something. I don't know which one yet. I like probably the idea of being a camera operator. However, you know, there is, it's just knowing your stuff and just getting in there, really. So I do agree with you, though, 100%. And you know what? That has touched me, those words. I won't even lie to you. It's true what you're saying. So,
well, you know,
thank you very much.
I have to say that, you know, there are those who are not totally motivated to do these things. And that's not just media. It's everything, really. But if you're not totally, completely focused on the thing, it won't come to you. But if you are, then it will. I was 4 years of age and I used to watch television. And in those days, there were separate, in my humble view, it was a better era, but there were separate ITV regions and they were all different. And some of them had announcers who would appear in vision. Some regions like Granada in the northwest didn't have InVision continuity announcers. Other regions did. And I love to go to the regions on holiday where the announcers you could see. And 4, 5, 6 years of age, I said to my mum and dad, I want to do that. Now, I never came quite to do that, but I got on the broadcast media. And I wanted to do that from when I was a kid. Lewis, listen, let me know how it goes, will you? And, you know, never give up hope. And please believe me, and it's not bull, if you believe in a thing, it'll come to you. And it may not come to you in the way that you want it immediately. Believe me, I can tell you many stories, but it'll come to you. All right?
All right. Yeah. Thanks for having me on, guys. Really appreciate it.
Take care, Lewis. Take care. Lewis in Rochdale. I hope that made some sense. You know, it's just a question of if you see it, if you see it, you can achieve it. Brand
Sounds
new heavies.
Like a song.
Brand new heavies. Great song, Amy. Brand new heavies. You are the universe. Marie, how are you?
Hi, I'm okay. How are you?
I'm all right, Marie. I'll do. Haley's here. She's all right as well. So we're all right then. That we've established. Where are you?
I'm based in Inglefield Green, which is in. I live in Windsor Great Park, just outside.
Oh, Windsor. Inglefield Green.
Yeah, it's beautiful, isn't it? It does actually have a green, like
in the Royal County of Berkshire.
There you go. Well, I'm on the border. I'm on the Surrey side.
Okay. Well, it's not very far, though. That border's like half a mile away, isn't it?
That's the border. It's very close. And it makes something really complicated.
But it's one of the nicest places, I think, anyway, because you're near Windsor and Ascot and all of those places, and you just have to go down the motorway a bit, and you can go to Winchester and all sorts, or be up in London if you want to.
Absolutely. Howard, I just want to really, really commend you on the very wise advice you've just given. Was it Lewis?
It was Lewis in Rochdale.
It was good stuff. I'm a great believer in the law of attraction. I'm a huge Richard Wiseman fan. And
in your life, you don't have to tell me, but in your life in Englefield Green, what have you attracted to you then? What have you brought to yourself?
Had a few shitty years, but I have weary nature.
Mm-hmm.
I have built a kind of a version of the farm I grew up to. I can now photograph at least 40 items that I have recreated from a piece of land in Africa, right here in England. I have amazing pets. I have an amazing little boy.
Mm-hmm.
He's quite autistic. He hasn't set foot outside home for all holidays, so I'm quite claustrophobic by now. And some other issues, which is I'm not a regular listener to your station, but...
Well, we can fix that.
Well, I flipped between radio stations, audiobooks, and many others, depending on what interests me.
I can recommend a podcast, but my producer, Haley, will kill me if I do, because it's my podcast.
I think by accident earlier today, I gave you a... usually you'd call it a pocket dial, but I actually keep my phone in my bra.
Okay.
Really?
like you do.
So
I have my hands free to do all sorts of shit. That's
true.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
well, I suppose it's always handy then, isn't it?
But, you know,
Does it not get a bit sweaty?
Sometimes it does, and I wrote off a previous phone when there was a heat wave, and with the heat from outside and my body heat, it got this sort of spot on the phone that just got bigger and bigger, and I had to replace it. It's like a burning spot from too much.
Well, you have to be really careful, but you know, the positive side, I guess, though, you know, there are people who spend money on these 4G boosters and stuff like that, but I would guess the underwiring would work like an aerial.
I have a little baggie I tie around my neck, and I put it in bed, but I can't hear as quite as clearly as when it's just, you know, what is it? 15 centimeters.
Okay, well, I'm always going to think of you now as the woman with the phone in her bra. You know, Kate Bush had a song called "The Man with the Child in His Eyes." You've got you're the woman with the phone in her bra. So look.
Can I quickly pick up on two things you just touched on?
Anything.
I've been listening a little bit, and you know, one is these ceilings and barriers and limitations we create for ourselves in our minds, and they're real for us. But they're not bloody real.
Mm.
I'm all about just exploding and shooting through all that stuff.
There's a bit of an accent. Are you South African? South Africa?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I've lived in the UK for more than 20 years, but my household still has Afrikaans as a first language.
What do they say? Lekker.
Yeah.
That means good.
I've got some lekker sauce at home.
Oh. Do you like...
I'm not even joking.
Haley, do you know about biltong? You know what biltong is?
I've had some, yeah. I have.
It's that sort of dried meat. Do you like biltong, Marie? Do you eat biltong?
I do very much, but there's biltong and biltong. And if you get the crappy stuff in little baggies, you know, in your...
Well, that's not from duty free.
That it doesn't give you the real idea. Go to a decent place where they do it right, and it might just completely blow your mind.
Okay. All right, sorry, you were saying there were two things you wanted to discuss.
So one is about these sort of self-imposed mind feelings and limitations. Mm. And I'm just, you know, I've just recently... I'm too old and life is too short. I don't want that in my life anymore. I'm just going through all of that. I'm just breaking those glass ceilings. And I don't currently have a job. I don't know if I'm employable with that attitude.
Okay. Well, like I said to Lewis, and we'll ask you, what would you like to do then?
I said that to Lewis, but Lewis sounds kind of young. And he
Lewis is a young guy finding his way. And, you know, I appreciated advice that people gave me.
A little bit older. You have children, you have pets, you have responsibilities, and if you're a woman, you sort of draw the short end of the straw, and it's just a little bit harder, not impossible.
But you sound so positive, though. It sounds to me like, you know, you talked about breaking out, so you can break out.
I am going to conquer the world. I have had, amongst other things, you know, for 8 years, I've had this stupid back problem, and today, through a new health insurance company, I saw this amazing orthopedic surgeon, and he just got it. And you know what? It's so posh there. And I'm getting an MRI scan tomorrow.
Good.
Like, on the NHS, I've waited for 6 months to see anybody. Then weeks and hours of waiting before you get a scan. And what they did for me, cortisone injections into some joints, didn't work. I don't know if they did it right. But I have high hopes now. If I can get control of the pain, then I can change the world.
Well, you know, sometimes in these medical things, and we haven't got time to talk about all the medical stuff, but yeah. I've been through an awful lot of stuff. And sometimes you've just got to meet the one right person, sounds like you have, who will start to get you on the right road.
Yeah.
So as they say in South Africa...
I think I have a life changer, yeah, and I can so do with it.
I think so too.
But say in South Africa, so tell me your knowledge.
No, I was going to say to you, just by way of farewell, I was going to say, go well.
Can I say just one thing more?
Okay.
You were talking about reunions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I couldn't make my 10-year reunion, and at that point, everyone was so competitive. And I was in England, and I haven't achieved much, and I couldn't just make a flight.
Where would you have had to go back to?
South Africa.
No, whereabouts in South Africa?
Cape. Stellenbosch, but a little bit more inland.
Oh, beautiful. Cape Town, yeah.
Yeah. Sort of vineyard, crop, wheat. Mm. Wheat growing country. But I did make my 20-year reunion. And it was lovely because by that time, the competitiveness had gone. People were just accepting each other. It was just...
Well, that's
some
nice.
People have gotten divorced. Some people, like me, had kids with issues.
Mm.
And, you know, we
were
just
there
for each other. We just accepted each other. No judgment. It was amazing. I don't know about the 30-year reunion, but it's just
awesome. I think mine was just exceptional. Hey, listen, Marie, in Englefield Green in Berkshire, listen, have a lovely weekend, and I wish you well, and keep in touch. Let us know how it all goes, especially with the back issue. You know, sometimes you will just meet the right person, they're going to give you a bit of help, and you might turn the corner. Let's see what happens. Howard Hughes Talk Radio here. Brian, Kevin, Susan, and Kyle will be talking with you very soon here. Stay with us.
Controversial conversation and outspoken opinions.
Yeah.
On Talk Radio.
All right. 0344-499-1000. We are Talk Radio. Howard Hughes and Haley Hayes here. That's a total of four H's. And Ian Lee's not here tonight. He's gone to see ZZ Top again or something, hasn't he? I don't know why. Haley, did you tell me what he was doing tonight?
He's just having the weekend off. It's long weekend, isn't it?
Well, I suppose he's allowed sometimes. Of course, you know, some of us, you know, here every Sunday night without fail. But, you know, we know our duty. Susan, in Exeter, how are you?
Good evening, Howard. Thank
Hello,
you
Susan.
For taking my call. The beautiful lady from South Africa who was just speaking, she keeps her phone in her bra.
Yes.
I'd rather, sweetheart, if you're listening, don't, because the phone gives off a form of radiation and I don't want you to get breast cancer. Please don't do that, sweetheart. Keep it in your pocket or a bag.
Well, we hear what you say.
It's not a bad idea, though, is it?
I see, for convenience.
I think it's quite ingenious, if I'm honest.
What, sweetheart, I'm just worried about this lovely lady. I mean, you can tell she's beautiful. By the way, she was speaking. She's a very, very beautiful person.
And, you know, there's so kind of personal freedom here. You know, if you want to keep your phone in your bra, then it's a matter for you, isn't it?
Health risk. You know, I used to go out with an engineer, and he said, you know, there's a risk. Never mind. I don't want to bore you.
No, it's okay. So what else has happened then? She's hearing you now, anyway.
I'm only worried about her health, that's all. Mm-hmm.
Take your phone out of your bra. Sorry.
Darling,
would your knickers be all right? Would that be a problem, too?
No. Well, it might be, because, you know, they give off radar. It gives off radiation.
There are those who may say that. I mean, I've got my phone. Okay, at the moment, right. I've got my phone on. It's on silent. It's in my pocket. So maybe I ought to be putting it. I don't know. Anyway, what else is occurring in Susan's world then?
I think that what you were saying earlier, everything you say is very interesting. There are a couple of points I'd like to raise, if I may. I think if someone is in a career and they might like it, they might feel happy, but their heart might yearn to do something else. And I would say, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Just go and explore that area. Because, like you said, Howard, you know, if you're driven, if you have a really strong spiritual attraction to something...
It's going to happen.
You will... Exactly.
With you on that. I'm with you on that. So don't keep your eggs in one basket and don't keep your phones in one bra. I think that's all very important. Susan, listen, thank you very much. I'm going to have to move on, but have a good night, okay? Give my love to Exeter. Jason, thank you very much for your tweet. You know, my thoughts very much with you in what you tell me. If you want to call and talk, that's absolutely fine, you know. But I quite understand if you can't. But nice to hear from you. And, you know, I guess we're kind of sending you support through the airwaves, if that's possible. I think we're doing that. Kevin, how are you, Kevin?
All right, Towers. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. You know, they used to say in Liverpool that you could stand in a school playground and shout Kevin and 10 heads would turn round. I mean that in the nicest possible way. Because when I was growing up in Liverpool, there weren't many Howards, Kevin. It was very lonely.
Yeah. Loads of Kevins in Liverpool.
They're great, aren't they?
Loads of Kevins in Liverpool.
Loads, tons of them. So what are you up to then, Kevin?
Yeah, what it is, Howard, I listen to your show every weekend.
Okay.
Right. I mean, what it is, my mum passed away over a month ago.
I'm sorry, Kevin.
Yeah, don't worry about it. She has vascular dementia. She passed away.
It's a terrible thing. And how are you getting on?
You know, I'm going up and down. You know, I drink a lot. That's my only problem, you see.
Well, you've got to come through all of that, Kevin. The only thing that really fixes these things, I think, is... I mean, it's easy for me to say, isn't it? But I've lost both of my parents. I know exactly what that's like, and it's all within the last decade or so. And there's nothing worse. Obviously, there's nothing worse. And the only thing that makes it slightly easier, sometimes, is time. You know, you get to a year...
Oh, time to heal it.
Yeah, well, that's what they say, yeah. But the problem is, when it's new like this, you're going to be looking at every anniversary, so it'll be Christmas, and you'll think, she's not here. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
Well, I lost my brother as well, and my mum, my dad, me, 15 years ago.
Right.
My brother was in the Paris Street Regiment, the Paris. You know what I mean? He was in everywhere. He was in the Falklands, the lot. Yeah, that's it.
Okay, and what about you, Kevin, though? What, how are you going to be spending the weekend? Tell me how you're going to be spending the weekend. You're going to get out and do something. You should. The weather's nice.
I'm doing the garden.
Okay, well, that's fine. just for my own interest, really, which bit of Liverpool are you in?
Yeah, I'm in Croxteth in Liverpool.
Okay, do you know the Belvale Shopping Centre?
Yeah.
My father, when he left the coppers, was the manager there. years and years ago. And the shops in the Belvale Shopping Centre, they used to get me to do little recordings for them. So they would say, so I'd do kind of the chemist has got a special offer now on cotton buds, 35 for 50p. Sorry, if you know the Belvale, so you know exactly where that is. I wish you well, Kevin.
Belvale, yeah.
Well, only,
where Belvale is.
It's only down the road from you. Hey, please take care and have a good weekend, Kevin.
Oh, I'm got it. I just want to explain what it is, what's been happening lately with me listening to your show on a Sunday, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my fire alarm has been going off.
Really?
And there's nothing wrong with the battery.
Which bit of the show? Bit of the show makes the fire alarm go off?
What?
I mean, I know I'm loud, but which bit of the show makes the fire alarm go off?
I don't know.
Well, it's all of it. God, well, I've heard from people who've had all sorts of... I've never heard of that one before.
I think you've been moving around the house. I've had change on the couch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all kinds going since my mum passed away.
Okay, well, sometimes they say, and I don't know whether that's true, that's why I'm doing the show, I'm trying to find out, that sometimes when people pass over, if they're close to you, then they come back. If they come back through a dream, they might, or they might come back in some other way. They say. I don't know whether that's so, but, you know, that's why I do the show.
That does happen, doesn't it, though, Howard?
Well, I think it might.
You know,
but, you know,
set the fire alarm off and everything.
Well, I'll try not to do that this week, Kevin. Please take care, Kevin, and keep in touch. And I mean that when I say Kevin in Croxteth in Liverpool. I know it well. From my Liverpool days, you know, they say you can take the boy out of Liverpool, but you can't take the Liverpool out of the boy. I think that's probably true. You see, you don't know any of this, do you? Because you're a South East girl, aren't you?
Londoner through and through, sorry.
One
of those people. Go north of Watford.
One of the best people I ever met. And Brian and Kyle will be coming to you after the news here at Talk Radio, by the way. Don't go anywhere. One of the best people I ever met. One of the most interesting people I ever met and spoke to. And this is not the clanging sound of a name dropping. I interviewed Elvis Costello some years ago, right? And Elvis Costello is Liverpool, Ireland, and London. He's all of those things mixed into one, and it's the greatest combination. Because, you know that I've spent years in London, but was up in Liverpool for years, and that's where I was. I owe everything to Liverpool. So what I am is a kind of combination of those things, I think. You don't get any of this, do you?
It's a mix of...
Paul, regular listener to The Unexplained, good friend here. Paul tells me a couple of things, one of which, and I was a bit worried about this, that it's perfectly legal to reach into the skip and take the cupboard door that I've been eyeing up.
If somebody's left it out, I mean, it's only going to get dumped anyway, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I know. But, you know, I don't know what that makes me look like. But
you worry too much.
And then I can have a great Saturday trying to fit this cupboard door and get rid of my old Formica one.
Brilliant.
Have a good idea. Paul also wanted me to do an horoscope, and I can't remember what...
Does he say what he is?
Taurus. He's a Taurian.
Oh, right, okay. Well,
they're all right, Taurians. That's about May, isn't it? April, May, I think.
Hang on.
My friend James is a Taurian. Yeah. Okay.
April the 21st to May the 21st.
Yes.
Right, the leisure and pleasure department of your chart takes over, and a routine day can turn into an exciting one.
Mm.
New faces at work could set you new challenges. Be ready to reveal a talent you never knew you had. Cool. The Mars effect makes you bolder and you're ready to suggest a friendly date to someone special.
Ooh, oh, there's an awful lot exciting. In this. Good old Mystic Meg.
I know.
That's a forecast for every area. Paul, let me know what happens with you. I know you will anyway. Let me know what happens. Oh, my God, it's almost too much.
Which are you? What are you, by the way?
Oh, well, I'm a Gemini.
You're a Gemini.
Can't you tell?
I don't know.
My sister, Geminis are supposed to be scatty, right?
Right.
One year, my dear sister Beryl, who may well be listening now in Worcestershire, who knows? Hello, Beryl, if you are. She once sent me, she thought it was funny, okay, and I didn't, but she sent me a birthday card saying, all Geminis are unemployed. So thanks a lot, sister, for
your
support
the then.
Well, I was probably, you know, what broadcasting is like. I was probably in between gigs,
roles.
Darling. Yes, yeah, but Geminis, they're all over the place.
Well, let me give you yours quickly.
Right,
see if it rings any bells.
Right.
Planet power gathers in the foundations of your chart and you feel strong and sure about property plans.
Oh, God, you must be kidding.
Whoa, you've got that cupboard.
Yes, I've got to try and
somehow
refurbish my 1970s interior flat. Somehow.
See, it's all coming true.
Okay.
Learning from the past without letting it cast too long a shadow over the future, that makes you a love winner. And if you're single, and if you're single, don't laugh, this is very serious. And if you're single, a Virgo is not your type and yet could make you very happy. So even if somebody's not your type, they can make you brilliantly happy, apparently. It's a Virgo you've got to look out for.
All right. That's garbage, isn't it?
Well, Mystic Meg said it, so it must be true, right?
No problem with Mystic Meg. But I don't know. Do people have types, do you think?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Well, you're attracted to a certain thing. Well,
I've known a couple of Leos in my life. But then I've known Scorpios and others. So I'm not sure whether that all works. But interesting nonetheless. And thank you for it. Howard Hughes here, in for Ian Lee, who's away. What was he doing again? I've forgotten. He's seeing the Himalayas again. Whatever he's doing. Here on Talk Radio, stay with us. We'll be back after the news. Don't go away.
No nonsense, no prisoners, no substitutes.
Howard Hughes on Talk Radio.
You're the future, and you come for what is yours, the hidden treasure, right behind the hidden doors, and the promise of a day that's this point of view, but you're a driver, not a passenger in life, and if you're ready, you won't have to try, cause you are the universe, and there ain't nothing you can do, if you conceive it, you can achieve it, that's why I believe in you, yes I do, you're a
you heavies. That song is just inspirational, Hayley Hayes. Have you ever heard that before?
I'm inspired.
Why, is that a great song? Listen to the words. You are the universe, and whatever you want to do, you can do it. You are a driver, not a passenger in life. Hear that? And when you're ready, you don't have to try, because... Thank you, Amy. In the nighttime, into the midnight hour here, let's roll out some calls here on 0344-499-1000. Brian in Washington. Not Washington, D.C., is it, Brian?
Hey, Howard, good evening.
You all right?
Washington town and we are.
Okay. In God's own country. How's everything with you?
Oh, fine, yeah, not too bad. I'm really enjoying the show. I love Hayley's accent, you know. She's from the east end of London.
Sort of, southeast.
I love your accent, Hayley.
Oh, thank you. I don't think I have one. I'm one of those people that I think everyone else has the accent and I don't have one.
No, I think we all do, really. And when I go back to Liverpool, I lapse into the Liverpool, you know, instead of being saying, what's going on there, you know, like that. So, you know.
Like, Brian, I think you've got a really strong accent. I don't think I have one.
Oh, right.
You might be wrong there, Hayley.
You kind of sound like from the East End. I think it puts you in mind of somebody from East End or something.
Oh, I wouldn't mind.
Sorry.
I wouldn't mind if somebody wanted me to be an EastEnders. That sounds like quite fun.
Yeah.
Well, if you're casting EastEnders, then we've got somebody
I'm
here.
I'm available.
So anyway, Brian, what's on your mind tonight then?
A couple of points I was going to make. Is Skemmersdale part of Liverpool, Howard, is it?
You've asked the right person here, Brian. Skelmersdale, or Skem as they call it locally, is what they call a new town. Back in the back of the... Sorry?
That was in Blood Brothers.
Was it?
Wasn't it? Skelmersdale.
Yes, it was, wasn't it?
Yes.
Skem, which is... Skem is halfway between... Well, it's not really halfway, but it's out there on the way to Wigan. So it's when you're on the way to Manchester, but you're still within the kind of, orbit of Liverpool. So it's, it was Lancashire back in the day. Well, the only reason I know that is on a freezing cold January day, years and years ago, my school forced all of us to get into a bus and go and do a project, about Skelmersdale.
Right.
And I was going to people's houses, knocking on the door, and there I was in my school uniform saying, Oh, hello. I've come from this whatever school it was, and I'd like to ask you a few questions, if you've got a moment, about Skelmersdale. Yeah, and the people were absolutely lovely. They'd say, wait a minute, lads, we'll just get my dressing gown on, I'll come down and talk to you, all right? Do you want a cup of tea, then? And they'd talk to me about Skem. Why are you asking about Skem? What's going on?
Oh, right, the point I was going to make, right, when I was at school in Albion in Washington, there was a lass there from Skelmersdale, and we all fancied her because of her accent, because it was really different and everything.
Would you talk a bit like that, you know?
Yeah, exactly, we all like, oh, she's lovely, I love her accent and everything, so we all kind of like, fell for her and that and everything.
Well, I love accents. I've got to say, you know, accents... I think accents can be really appealing. And I think a Liverpool accent, you know, is probably the most appealing of them all.
Oh, I'd say a French one.
Yeah.
If there's a French man, that's quite sexy, isn't it?
I don't know. I mean, I liked Australian accents.
Oh.
So I would, dropping another name, there it goes clang. When I was lucky enough to meet Kylie Minogue once, she read my weather forecast for me. I just loved it. My heart would melt when she'd say, my and home. I just, but that's just me. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So accent and Skelmersdale. So Skelmersdale made a big impact on you then, Brian.
Oh well, we actually thought, because it sounded like Liverpudlian to us, like was it more like Leghead anything?
Well, I'll tell you why. That is because back in the days when they built places like Skelmersdale, and Skelmersdale was a new town. It's got loads of walkways and roadways, and it was supposed to be the most modern thing going. And you know, they built in factories. There was a place where they used to make shirts for Marks and Spencers. They might still do that in Skelmersdale, but they moved out loads of people who lived in the in houses that were falling apart in Liverpool. They bust them out to Skelmersdale. And that's why a lot of people who talk like your friends at school ended up in Skelmersdale. Uh-huh. But Skelmersdale actually is part of Lancashire. And if you talk to people, I don't know, 75, 80 years ago who'd lived there, they'd be probably talking a bit like that, you know, because it was more sort of Lancashire, more than anything else, you know. Sure, it's a bit of that. So that was another place where those people from Liverpool just took over.
It's a funny situation because is it still class as Merseyside, like Liverpool, like Merseyside, isn't it? It's sandwiched in between Lancashire, is it Manchester as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, and there were areas that were fought over. Like, I would go for days out in Southport. Now, when I was a kid, Southport had its own buses, Southport Corporation buses. And it would, if you asked anybody in Southport, is Southport part of Merseyside, they would say, no, Southport is part of Lancashire. But gradually, it's moved out bit by bit. So every other person that you will hear walking down the street in Southport will talk a bit like that, you know. And then you'll walk a little bit further and you'll hear somebody talking like that, like they'd come straight down from Preston or from Bolton or somewhere like that, you know.
Love it.
But I love that. I love that mix. That was, you know, that was my childhood, really. And I hope we don't lose that. You know, you get people watching, all these reality TV shows. And everybody sounds the same. They all sound a bit like Ali G. They do, you know. The Slough Massive in it. And I think we're losing something when we lose accents in this country. I'm lucky enough to have worked in loads of different regions. And I loved working in Birmingham because everybody spoke like that in Birmingham, you know, because it was great there, you know. They talked like something out of Crossroads on the television, you know. Oh, you're going to go work on the radio in Birmingham. It's great there, you know. Then we moved down to Herefordshire and Worcestershire, and it was all a bit kind of like that, you know. And then you go down in the south, and they're a bit more kind of, it's a mix of, a bit of that and a bit of this kind of stuff there. I'm sorry, I'm going off on one.
You know, my favourite accent of all time, though, Howard, the accent that we are absolutely adore and love is the Belfast accent.
Ah, love that. The
Belfast accent, you know, Belfast women from that part of the world, the accents are
I used to have a helper at one of the stations that I worked at. Pauline was her name. And she talked like that, and I used to say, how are you, Pauline? Hey, you doing all right? She'd say, I'm fine, thank you.
it is a gorgeous accent, I love it.
But they have
I was going to ask you about ghosts as well while I'm here.
Oh, right, okay.
This is a bit of a dafty, I don't know why I'm asking for, but you know when people say they often see ghosts of either Victorian children, Edwardian children, sometimes they see ghosts of animals like cats or dogs or whatever.
They do, they see ghosts of knights carrying their heads under their arms, all sorts of things.
Yeah, this is a daft one, but how come nobody ever sees a ghost of a prehistoric creature like a Caryodactyl or a Tyrannosaurus Rex?
That's a very good point. People see, I mean, there are cases, and I've talked about them on that show on something like that Haley's not letting me talk about. There are cases of, like, cats, ghostly cats that walk through walls. There's a famous one in Scotland that walks through the wall of a pub. There are ghostly dogs that howl and wail in the dead of night. But you're right. If it works that way, if you die and then sometimes you come back, then theoretically, the pterodactyls and the dinosaurs and the creatures of prehistoric times ought to be coming back as well, and they're not, unless you know different, as Esther Ransom once said.
Oh, God, no. I just kind of wondered, but the flat I'm living at, the minute I keep having a cat in here like meowing all the time, and obviously I haven't got any animals, so that's quite spooky.
Oh, my God. Do you know what, I mean, is it an old place you're living in?
Not really. It's like I would say it's about a 1960s, 70s flat.
I wonder
it's
if
like,
somebody...
It's like a terrace house, probably a bit older than that. It's like a terrace house, and it's like an upstairs flat I've got. But
are you sure it's just not the people downstairs have got a cat? Did you hear that, Brian? Are you sure it's not the people downstairs have got a cat that you're hearing?
Oh, God, no. It's in here. I can hear it.
Oh, God.
Like, distinctive. It's like,
you haven't got one stuck in a cupboard or anything, have you? You know, one's not crept in and stuck in your cupboard. Because they do that, don't they? Cats can sneak in anywhere. You sure you've not got one?
Honestly, Haley, I've looked everywhere.
Have you looked everywhere? Okay.
I've heard it.
Have you left some food day, out?
No, I hear it, like, not every single day, but like every so often I'm in bed and I can hear it in the bedroom, like meow, and I'm thinking, ee, cricky, is that some cat got in the room? So I'm putting the light on, looking around and everything.
Well, it could be worse. It could be a pterodactyl, couldn't it? And then you'd have to run for your life.
That would be worse. I'd move out if that was the case.
No, you need to get yourself a mouse, I think. Let's see if it comes out. Brian, listen, have a good night in Tyne. Do they still call it Tyne and Wear?
I mean, it's like, they still call it Tyne and Wear, but, like, do you know, like, Cleveland and Middlesbrough? That's abolished now. You've got, like, people who live in Middlesbrough used to live in Cleveland. They live in North Yorkshire now. They've all come under North Yorkshire.
Well, it's a bit like the old county of Merseyside that doesn't exist as well. Thank you, Brian, very much indeed. Nice to hear from you tonight. This is Howard Hughes on Talk Radio with Hayley Hayes. Here's Kyle in Rochdale. What's going on in Rochdale, Kyle? Second call from Rochdale.
I was going to say, all right, whack.
Yeah, all right, you know, you're not bad at doing that, you know. You're all right, you'll pass. You know, I could mistake you for a genuine Scouser.
Well, I was trying my best. But brilliant show as ever. I've scribbled about five things down, which is a brilliant show, because like, there's so many things that I like, was going to ask you about. But I'm trying to limit it to two. Is that all right? Because I know you've got loads of callers.
Well, you know, as my dear friend Scylla would have said, fire away, my Chuck.
Well, when you talked about having your white suit on, I was thinking about Alec Guinness or Boss Hogg.
No, I wasn't quite in the Guinness mode, though. I always say about Alec Guinness, you know, if you're doing impressions, then down here is Roger Moore. In the middle there is Alec Guinness, and you too could be a Jedi Knight. And then up there is Chris Tarrant. And they're all the same thing.
Like a sliding scale?
Yeah, it's like, though there is Roger Moore and 007, it's sort of like, and then you've got Alec Guinness, which is in the middle, you too can be a Jedi Knight. And then you go up a little bit and you've got Chris Tarrant, and it's just the same person.
I was going to say, can you go, ho-ho?
I can. I promise I'll get through this in 5 seconds. He used to say, do you know something, Harry? People say that I keep doing that, and I never do. And then he'd be talking to a caller on the radio, and he'd go, oh, and I'd say, yes, you do that. I'm sorry, Kyle.
No, I was going to say, there's a brilliant, I'm trying to rattle through it really quick, but there's a brilliant video I'd never noticed where somebody did, like, a compilation of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and he always says the name back of the contestant. I think it's on YouTube. So they would always go, you know, they'd ring them and sort of say, hello, and he'd always repeat whatever they said to him. They were like, you know, evening, hello, evening, and he would say it back. It's about 2 minutes or 3 minutes of, like, him literally repeating back exactly what they've just said to him.
I have to say, I mean, if it's their name he's saying back, I can understand that, because I'm lousy at remembering names, and a good way to remember names, you know, you bump into somebody in the corridor and she says, I'm Hayley Hayes. You say, oh, Hayley Hayes, hello, and then you remember.
Yeah.
I think that's what it's about. It's a memory trick, I think.
It's the exact threat. Do you know what? I will try and send it to Talk Radio. The other two things I was going to ask you, so there was a school reunion I was going to ask you about, and also, I'd really like to get my horoscope, but I completely understand if you're pressed for time.
Go for it. What are you?
What are you?
Are you human or dancer? No, go on. Sorry, what are you?
Aquarius.
Okay. As the sun lights your sector of shared finances, cashbacks and figures are easier to understand for the first time in a year, and your confidence grows with money. It's a prime time to fall in love, though at first you and a H may not take to each other, but will do. Give it some time. A raffle ticket could lead to a generous cash reward. So enter a raffle, meet somebody with a H, and finances are looking good. That's a summary.
This sounds really odd, but I only really know of you, Hayley, so that's a bit weird.
I'm already married and you live miles away, so that's probably not
And what
me.
About the raffle ticket then, Kyle?
Do you know what? I keep looking at this lottery. Well, it's not a raffle, but I keep looking at this lottery. Set for life, but it's 30 years, isn't it, where you get 10 grand a month.
That would be nice.
I think we've all heard that commercial for you know, the set for life, and we've all been sitting there in the car or wherever, and we've all thought, do you know what I'd do first if I got that?
Oh, yeah.
I've got a nice cruise ship somewhere, I think. I think
I've spent it already. So I was going to say, so the school reunion.
Oh yes,
I can tell you a little story, and but absolutely true. But we'd like to know it.
Of course, I'd like to know it.
Okay. So when I was about 18, 19, I went out with a lady, and so we were together for 2 years. Ended as these things do, and we met again. And it's not a happy ending. It's not a sad story, but, you know, it's not a happy ending. So we met again at school reunion, got back together after 10 years, and we got another 5 years out of that.
Reunions are a good thing, then?
Yeah, well, looking back now, perhaps not. But, you know, it was for the 5 years from the second time round, yes. It was quite happy.
Okay, because, you know, they say it about jobs, never go back. And I think sometimes that applies to relationships, I'm not sure. But the school reunion thing, though, didn't you find when you went there that everybody was massively different, and the people that you liked when you were at school with them, you suddenly found that you didn't quite like them, and the ones that you didn't have a lot of time for, you find you did?
Well, do you know what? It was all right, actually, but people did say, because I'm quite a slender fellow, and people are like, you've not put change, you've not put any weight on. And in fairness, I was doing the same jokes from about 10 years previous, so, you know, one of them. But I did like, by the way, the other one that I remember, and tying it back to the Scouse thing, the Liverpudlian thing, is I do remember Paul McCartney once saying, you can't reheat a souffle. And
well,
that's always stuck with me. So I think, and the last thing, I was going to ask you, or mention to you, is I'll have a really good friend from Crosby. He ended up working for Channel 4, of all things, but that's what he was always really proud of, his Crosby roots, but he would always say Lancashire and not.
When I went to school, I mean, it's very boring for anybody who's not in Crosby, but when I went to school in Crosby, the school books had Lancashire Education Committee on the front, because Crosby was the frontier at that time, and the police was part of, the local police were part of Lancashire.
Yeah.
So that at that time, 7 miles north of Liverpool, Hayley's glazing over now, 7 miles north of Liverpool, the border between Lancashire and Liverpool was Crosby. But now it's all extended. It's gone all the way out to Formby now and Freshfield. You don't know any of these places, do you, Hayley?
No.
You haven't?
I'm just going to nod.
I don't know. You see, I tend to think if people haven't, you know, for some people down here in the south, from where we're broadcasting, anywhere north of like Milton Keynes
Watford.
Well, there you go. Anywhere north of Watford or Milton Keynes is like an unknown country. And I just think it's, you've missed so much in your life.
I've still got time.
Exactly. Go and explore before it's all gone.
I was going to say, there's that sign on the motorway, isn't there, when you're about Milton Keynes, where it goes, because my girlfriend, an ex-girlfriend, used to be in London, so she used to love it when, we ever pass Milton Keynes, it's like, M1, the North.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean.
What it says.
So. Well, no, yeah, because, you know, I mean, all right, I'm biased because I was brought up in the north and people will say that people in Liverpool would say, yes, but you left though, didn't you? And, but back in those days, you had to. You know, there was a woman called Mrs. Thatcher and, you know, life was a bit difficult in Liverpool and some of us, you know, moved south and never went back, sadly. But I go back to see it and enjoy it and I always have fun and the place is always good to me. And I've done a little bit of work there over the years, but, you know, once you make the move, I guess you made the move.
But, I was going to say thank you. And do you know what? I think I've managed to cover it. There was one last thing I was going to ask you, but it involves an impression, and you might not be comfortable doing it.
Okay. Well, I've already been told off by Lou. Lou thinks I do a terrible Northern Ireland, so I'm going to stop doing
it. It can't be any worse than that. Lou. Let's try it.
Go on then.
It was when you talked about your teacher, and you said Miss Jones, and as soon as you said Miss Jones. I just thought of you doing, like, Rigsby.
You know, I had a friend, Rob McLaughlin was his name, and you might know that name, Carl. Rob McLaughlin was on Granada Television years ago, doing the local news there, and became quite important in broadcasting up in the Northwest, and I think he was a director of Granada in the end. Rob McLaughlin, if you're there, he did the greatest Rigsby that I've ever, I couldn't even begin to do a Rigsby. Do you know who Rigsby is, Hayley? Classic comedy series, Rising Damp.
Rigsby, during the break.
Played by a man called Leonard Rossiter, who was from Liverpool, who was one of the greatest comedy actors ever. And when you see him, you will probably recognise his face. And Kyle, he used to do commercials, didn't he? What did he used to do commercials for? Here's a test for you.
Oh, Cinzano?
Yeah. He did one with Joan Collins on a plane. And the joke was always that he was with Joan Collins on doing these commercials. And he'd always spill the drink over Joan Collins, who would be well and truly naffed off by that. Hey, Kyle, nice to talk with you. Thank you for calling tonight.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Kyle in Rochdale, let's be clear. Bye-bye. Well, thank you, Kyle. Across the UK, we are Talk Radio. It's Howard Hughes and Hayley Hayes here. We're coming to Nigel next. We could be coming to you to talk about whatever you like. Whatever you want to talk about, we can talk about it here. Why? Because we don't care. 0344-499-1000 is our number.
No nonsense discussion.
Howard Hughes
on Talk Radio.
So we've been doing the odd horoscope here tonight, myself and Ailes, and we can do one for you if you want to, but Stuart says about Geminis, and that's me. A lot of people in broadcasting are Geminis. I don't know why, but apparently the definition of a Gemini is they're easygoing, they're adjustable, they're outgoing, they're enthusiastic, they're social. This is all positive. They have interesting things to say. Oh, I don't know about that. And they're highly intelligent, sometimes. They're indecisive and impulsive. Do you think, am I indecisive?
I wouldn't say so.
Mm. Oh, I don't know about that. Where'd you get that definition from, Stuart? And they're nosy and unreliable.
Oh, no, I wouldn't say you're unreliable. No,
I'm as constant as the Northern Star. I mean, I think you'll find... Nigel, in Maidstone. How are you, Nigel? We haven't talked for yonks.
Good evening, Howard.
How's everything?
not too bad. I'm a little bit depressed about Mum still, you know.
Well, no, I understand that.
Well, I feel terrible about Mum still. It's not getting any better, you know, shock.
I remember talking with you before is the therapy is music. You find, you know, you've got a release in music.
I've been very busy gardening earlier. You know, I had to do a lot of weeding. They were 4 foot high and there's like thistles, you know. So I did a lot of digging for about 15 minutes. And
have you got one of those things to do the digging? What do they call those?
I'm afraid I've hurt my neck.
Oh.
Yeah. And I lifted, the soil I put in the bag weighed about half a hundredweight.
And God, of course, did you lift that?
I had a job to lift it from one place to another, so I hurt my neck a bit.
Oh, you'd be giving yourself a hernia. Be careful.
Well, I know. Oh, yes, it did hurt my stomach as well. Yeah. You've got to be careful.
No, I was doing some lifting yesterday. I had to lift, my bike was stuck in all the boxes and garbage in my garage. Mm. I had to lift it out, and I've strained my pelvis. I have.
Yeah,
strained pelvis I've got.
It's awkward to try and lift soil up. It was in a plastic bag, a shopping bag, plastic bag, you get from the supermarket. And
how's the music going though? Because you know, the first time we spoke, which is probably a year or so ago, you played me a tune.
I thought I spoke to you a few months ago.
No, I'm saying the first time you spoke to me. That was more than a year ago.
I'm still drumming in the bedroom, but I've to get some gigs now. They
8 days to them were fully booked up these days. It's jobs you could get work anywhere as a singer, I mean, a cabaret singer. So I used to be a cabaret singer.
Used to be. Are you a bit of a Tony Christie on the quiet?
Well, I used to do the Barry Manilow songs, didn't I?
I was
blind for you before, didn't I, Barry Manilow?
Do you want to do a Barry? Can you do a Barry Manilow for us?
Oh, please.
I was just going to go Miss Jones.
Oh, that is good. Now that is a
because he had a bit. He talked through his nose a bit, didn't he?
It's Ring Rigsmith. I can't do. It's one I can't do.
Oh, Miss Jones. Oh, Miss Jones.
And that was Miss Jones was Frances de La Tour, an actress with a voice like this.
She wasn't in many things, was she? That many.
Oh,
things.
She was in a lot of stuff, but a lot of theatre. Frances de La Tour.
I mean television. She wasn't in too much television.
She was Miss Jones, and she was constantly pursued in this naff old house by Rigsby the landlord.
I've got the original film on the DVD, the actual film with Rigsby in. What was it called, the series?
It was called Rising Damp, and it was also, it was done just before Richard Beckinsale died. He was in it.
Yes, he's in this one as well, I believe. Yeah. Anyway, it was the feature film they made, but there was a black person in it as well.
You're playing for time, Nigel. You're playing for time. Yeah. I want you to do Barry Manilow, and you're talking Rising Damp. This is not good.
Going to the kitchen where it's not.
Well, that's all right. We've got time. You've got the music. We've got the time. What are you going
to
do?
I don't want to annoy the neighbours, you say. So I'm going to the kitchen.
That's all right. I'll deal with the neighbours. Send them round.
Yeah.
I'll sort them out.
But I could still hear the children running about 10 minutes ago. The children.
What Barry Manilow songs do you do? Do you do Mandy?
I
remember all my life.
Could it be magic?
Could it be magic now? How about the Copacabana?
Oh.
All of them off without reading the words.
Her name was Haley. She lived in Wapping.
She used to spend her days
going to... Sorry.
So I hope my neck is going to be all right, lifting that soil.
I hope so, too.
A big bag of soil.
I'm sure it will.
Well, sit in a chair and give us a bit of Barry, but you can't go without doing Barry Manilow.
I write the songs. That's the one I can remember the words best.
I write the songs that made the whole world sing.
There's a part at the beginning that's quite, people don't usually hear.
Okay, well, let's hear it. Come on now.
So, shall I do it now, then?
Yeah, no, please.
Okay, I'll start now. I've been alive forever, and I wrote the very first song. I put the words and the melodies, and music, and I write the songs. I write the songs that make the whole world sing. I write the songs of love and special things. I write the songs that make the young girls cry.
I write the songs.
Now music takes you down, and it gives your spirit a chance. Write some rock and roll so you can move. Music fills your heart, but it's a real fine place to start. It's from me, it's to you, it's from you, it's to me. It's a worldwide symphony. I write the songs that make the whole world sing. I write the songs of love, special things. Boom, boom, boom. I write the songs that make the young girls cry. I write the songs.
You had a bit of vibrato there. That was very good, Nigel.
It's really difficult without the backing.
No, I mean, doing it on a mobile phone, you know, where half the time if the reception goes, it sounds like you're gargling. It was very good. No, you've got the pitch perfect, I think.
And I got the timing right as well, didn't I, the timing?
You did. It was all perfectly right. I mean, if Bazza was listening, he would be humbled, I think.
I think that would have passed, a talent show on the TV if I did that.
Oh, I think so. I think you ought to try.
Yeah, Britain's Got Talent.
That would be brilliant.
If we could get you on there, wouldn't that be wonderful? You know, I don't know if Hayley knows anybody, but...
You know The Voice? There is Tom Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Miss Jones.
I thought you were going to tell me you nearly got onto the voice there. You need to do a bit more practice.
Was he singing?
No. I was just doing a Tom Jones, a very, very bad Tom Jones there. I think you'll find.
No, Miss Challenger.
So listen, what we've got to get for you is some paying gigs then, isn't it? Because last time we spoke, you were doing some pubs and stuff.
And I had a good idea to help me get some work. So I need to pay the bills. I'm struggling to pay the bills at the moment. It's really difficult.
Okay, and you make your living by singing?
Well, no, my 30 years ago.
I think we're losing you a bit, Nigel. I'm sorry about that, mate.
I made like £70 an hour drumming.
Hang on, how much?
£70.
No, we're losing you. I'm sorry, Nigel. Listen, please take care, and we'll do a bit more singing next time you're on. But I think the mobile phone reception's too bad. He said he had to go into the kitchen. I think
there's only one spot in his flat that gets good signal. So if he moves, that's it.
And of course, you've got to remember the acoustics for doing Bazza.
Well, exactly. That's the most important.
I write the songs that make the whole world sing. There's a great Barry Manilow song that no one plays anymore. And it was his first hit, and it was like up tempo. But if Amy can find it, it's called It's a Miracle. It's called It's a Miracle, and it is. You know, we tend to think, well, it is a miracle because it was before he had the hits with all the ballads. It's a real power pop song. You know, I mean, it's earlier than all the others. It's about 1973, and Copacabana and all those others were later on. It's a Miracle is just the greatest song. It's got the greatest intro to it. I think you'll find.
Who knew?
I mean, for those of us who have, you know, occasionally dabbled in the field of music radio, it's very good. I think Amy's looking for it. We'll try and get to it at some point, if we can play it. She's got it. Let's hear it. Come on. Let's hear it. Let's hear it. Have you heard that before?
No, I haven't. I like it, though. It's got
that
a nice rhythm.
That was Barry Manilow's first hit. But because he was so good at the ballads, people don't play that anymore.
I know.
They all play Mandy.
Oh, I like that song.
Which is all right, you know. Something of a love song. But for real power pop, that's a proper song.
Yeah.
You think
good.
So?
Yeah.
Or I'm once again in a minority of one. What's on
that? Well, I don't know.
Okay, all right. And who's just said... Robin in America. Robin, one of my unexplained listeners. Thank you for that. Robin says, haven't heard this in years. Robin, we need to do a whole show about them songs, what were big hits, and nobody plays anymore.
Special Bazza show.
Exactly.
Is that what we need?
Well, we can do with a bit of that. We have the return of Susan in Exeter. Have I said something wrong? Susan, how are you? What's going on?
Good evening again, Howard, and your beautiful lady, Amy.
And Hayley. Don't forget Hayley.
Hayley, sorry, sweetheart. All the beautiful ladies.
Exactly.
They're very lovely. Sweetheart, did you know that Liverpool used to be part of Lancashire before they changed the borders?
You're absolutely right. It was considered to be part of Lancashire. In terms of old-fashioned counties, then Liverpool was part of that.
Thank you very much.
Right.
I want to move on to a subject of, I don't know, Howard, if you've ever discussed this in your shows, which are absolutely brilliant. Have you ever touched on out-of-body experiences?
Have we? I should say we have. Many times, yes. Have you had
really?
One?
Really? Yeah, I did. It was horrible.
What happened?
Tell us.
Well, I'd come out of a very traumatic time when my boyfriend went back to his country of origin, and I struggled, but I sort of pulled myself up by my bootstraps,
mm-hmm.
and but I could feel this enormous hole inside me, you know, where he'd left me, because I loved him, you see. I couldn't help it. I just fell in love. And I went to stay with my auntie. I was telling somebody about this the other week. And I woke up, and I thought I was dead. I called out. My voice was detached from my body. It was horrible.
Boy, could that have just been a bad dream, do you think?
Sleep paralysis
as
well?
No, it wasn't. I've never had it before, and I hope to God I'll never get it again, because it was absolutely vile. It was the most frightening experience. I mean, I've been banged up in a room with a schizophrenic wielding a knife at me, and this experience was towered that, you know, in the terms of fear.
Mm.
And I managed to sort of scramble. I could remotely remember that I was staying with my auntie at the time in a bedroom in her huge Victorian villa. And I just could manage to gather the thought in my head that there was a sink in the corner of the room. And I don't know how I managed to get there, but I could feel, when I felt it, the porcelain, it was cold, you know, a sink, and I could feel the rim, and I knew I wasn't dead, but I felt dead. I can't explain it, Howard. It
was, so this was all happening during your out-of-the-body experience?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Do you think it was one of those things, because you'd had that bad experience and the guy had gone back to wherever he was from? Do you think that was just something that your mind was doing for you to help you get through? Once you got through that experience, then things were better, were they? No?
No, they weren't. I think that... I don't know what the hell was happening, quite frankly, but I knew when I called out, my voice was detached from my body, and that frightened me. That frightened me because I was calling out. Yeah, it scared me, and I knew my voice was detached, and I literally thought I was dead, but when I felt the sink, I knew I wasn't dead because I could feel the sink in my hands, you know, physically, and I managed to crawl back into bed, and I was dying for the morning to come, because it was pitch black, and it was early, very early hours of the morning.
Did you tell anybody about it the next morning?
No, I didn't, but my auntie, very sort of, she broached the subject very gently. She said, did you have a nightmare last night? I said, not really. She said, well, my neighbour... who was Ruth, she lived downstairs. She said she heard some terrible screams and thumping and banging.
And that was you?
Yeah, it was me, and I wasn't aware of it. I was aware my voice was outside my body, but I wasn't aware I was stomping around.
It sounds to me like you had a very, because of, I mean, you know, sometimes we all have these things. If you've been through a trauma, sometimes it plays itself out in your head when you're sleeping. And then it's almost your brain's way, it's your mind's way of making you better.
Yeah, it could have been, Howard, but then I went to...
I mean, I don't know, but it sounds that way.
I know what you mean, but I went to a psychic awareness class, oh, God, 30 years later, because I was quite young, 23 at the time when this happened, and I went to a psychic awareness class, and the teacher, it was lovely, actually, it was really interesting, and this particular week she touched on OBE, it's called out-of-body experience, and she said, hands up anybody in the class who've had this, and I put my hand up. And I wasn't going to say that it was because I'd lost my boyfriend, you know, who I was very much in love with. I thought a wuss, you know.
Okay, so you just told her about the experience, and did she think you'd had an OBE?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And she said, but the funny thing was, Howard, she said, and I couldn't believe she asked me this question, she said, had you been through a trauma? I said, yes, I had. And she said, And apparently, Howard, they've done research on this. They've actually done research. If you go out of your body, sometimes you can have a really beautiful experience. You can see pastures and flowers and a bright light and beautiful things. But there's the other side of it. You can have a really black, horrible experience, like you're in a pit and you can't get out.
Of course, those things also apply to dreams. You can have bad dreams,
yeah, but
and you can have the kind of dreams that make you wake up, you know, shaking and crying.
No,
I've had those.
No, this wasn't a dream. This was horrible. I was absolutely terrified because when I don't know what the hell happened, Howard, but when I called out my voice, all I can say is my voice was outside my body.
It was disconnected. Well, Susan, listen, thank you for sharing that. You know, I don't know what to say about that, really. I mean, people who have out-of-the-body experiences describe those sorts of things. But equally, science would tell you that people have traumas. You know, maybe they have a bust-up with somebody, or like in your case, a boyfriend leaves and goes back to where he's originally from, or something else happens. And then you play it all out in your head, because otherwise it's going to bug you in your conscious daily life. So you go to bed, and one of the points and purposes of dreaming and sleeping is to, and look, I'm not a scientist or a medic, but one of the purposes of dreams is to reconcile stuff that happens to you during the day. Otherwise it would stay around you and torment you. I mean, what do I know that's worth knowing? But that's one thing that I suspect is true. Thank you for that. Our number here, Hayley Hayes, Howard Hughes, is 0344-499-1000, and we are the Mighty Talk Radio.
No nonsense, no prisoners, no substitutes.
Howard Hughes on Talk Radio.
Oh, Hayley disappeared for just a second to pay a very vital call of nature. And I thought she's going to be away for minutes, so I could tell you about all the things that are going to be on The Unexplained this Sunday night. And sadly, she's back, and I can't do that. But we've got a great show for you, including Linda Moulton Howe, American researcher, a guy talking about robotics and how they're all going to take over, the robots, in the future, and loads of other stuff in the news hour on The Unexplained at 10 p.m. on Sunday night. I've done it now.
Awesome. Just that little bit too long in the loo, wasn't I?
Well, just, you know.
I did run as well. I really tried.
Well, I know you were lightning late, bearing in mind where it is relative to where we are. I think you were lightning fast.
Had good practice.
Yes. Now, Marie wanted to come back on. So I think, you know, look, it's open house here. We don't mind. Marie, what can we do for you?
Darling, it's me again.
Hello, I know.
I've laughed so much in the last 10 minutes.
You've been listening to something else.
Well done for you.
Well, thank you very much.
Laughing out loud. You're very, very kind and very open-minded.
Well, I hope so. You know, there's no point in being closed-minded. You don't learn anything.
No. Be open-minded, please. All of that could be real. Who knows?
Well, exactly.
It's not possible.
You know, I've always said that of the things that we talk about and the things that we consider, if 5% of them turn out to be true, that 5% changes our perception of everything that we know. Even if the other 95% of it is complete bullshine and garbage, the 5% would change the world.
Oh, gosh, you use the careful words. Is there any watershed anymore?
There are those who may argue there's always a watershed, but I don't know.
I quickly want to say thank you, if she's still listening, to this very sweet lady who was so concerned about my potential breast cancer. I often put it around, I have very little bags. I hang my phone around my neck. It's not awesome.
Oh, so hang on. So if it's not in your, we just have to say, if you're just joining us now, maybe you've been out for a night. Marie was the person who came on and volunteered the fact.
I'm not out for a night, my darling.
No, I'm just saying to my listener here. If my listener's been out for a night and just turned on the radio and thinking, what the hell's this? Marie is the person who told us that she keeps her mobile phone in her bra. Frankly, it's a free country. If you want to do that, that's cool.
Yeah. I want to give you a little bit of context. You know, it's been the summer holidays. I have an amazing little boy. You've talked about music a little while back. Do you know, my kid can listen to any song and go and play it faultlessly on one of his 8 keyboards.
Wow.
Black notes in different keys.
He's not awake now, is he?
No.
Pity.
He's autistic, and he has very weak weaknesses. But
he's got that amazing ability.
Aspects.
It's not just musical. It's much more than that. There's quite a number of them.
That's his one special thing, then. I'm sure you do, but you must encourage that.
That's one special thing. I do as much as I can, but I'm very pathetic. My mum forced me to have music lessons when I was very young, and I was terrible. I never practiced, and I don't have a good ear. And Wixie is pitch perfect. He doesn't allow me to sing or whistle because I'm off tune.
Wixie, is that his name?
His name is Wick.
Wick, okay.
Yeah. We live on Wick Road in an amazing place, and there's a Wick Pond. Do you know Wick means like a tiny settlement in the olden days?
I don't live far from a place called Hampton Wick.
How many places have Wick? And it's like a tiny, not a village, a little settlement. And there's also the Candlewick thing. And we live on Wick Road, and we absolutely adore where we live. It's the most magical place. And we looked at name books. I walked through graveyards to find a name. We looked at all the family names. And then I told my husband, you know, every time we turn into Wick Road and we're almost home, my heart warms up. I want to call this kid Wick. And it suits him to a T. Wick, Wixie, Wicks.
Okay, is that... I've never seen... In a list of first names, I've never seen Wick.
I've Googled it. There are some. Mm-hmm. In America and Holland.
I suppose you might find it on Wikipedia. Sorry.
Yeah, good.
That's terrible, terrible, terrible. But what do you expect at this time of night? Marie, listen, nice to talk with you, though.
I want to talk about star sign.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So I'm a Libra, always weighing up things. And, you know, it's weird. I'm in my middle age. And... my dad and mum, my mum and dad in South Africa are kind of total opposites, although they've been married for 50 plus years. I don't know how it's unfeeling.
Opposites attract.
Oh, wow. And my dad, when he gets stressed, OCD compulsive hoarding. My mum, in reaction, she wants minimalist and hoarder.
Oh, God.
I have all of that, and genetically, it's coming out stronger and stronger. So one day, I hoard, and I bring things, do you know, free cycle, free wheelie. I do skip diving, because we just don't have any money now. I bring things home, and then I want to create order. But in the past few weeks, when I have been imprisoned at home, so it's a lovely home, huge garden, adjoining paddock, treehouse, stream, playhouse.
Sorry, did you say you got your own paddock?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Three cats, a dog. I think we've got 7 slides. Wixie's got very good balance. He climbs on fallen trees. He goes on roofs, on ladders. Very good balance. And I've taught, South Africans teach their kids to be very, very safe from a young age.
Mm.
Yeah, you hold their hand, you teach them to be safe. And then you don't have to worry about it anymore. You keep an eye, but you don't have to. Mm. This English health and safety bullshit is really, really not for us. We have three...
Hey, well, let me tell you, when you're out in the bush, you've got to cope. I know.
We've never had a safety net, and my child knows how to jump and fall off. And, you know, from all these gifts from Freecycle and from Skips, I've made... so much entertainment. I brought Legoland and so much entertainment home. I could keep him happy every day. I've built a long, long path sloping down the garden on which he rollerblades and cycles and bicycles. He still gets his old tricycles out, everything.
So, listen, you've got something to teach people, haven't you, really? That we're great ones for buying stuff and chucking it away. But actually, you know, you can keep stuff going and repurpose it.
Another person's treasure, and exactly. I have so many repurposed things that I give a second life, and sometimes it just needs a little layer of paint, a little something, and it can be something again.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you are talking to one of, I am one of life's hoarders. I would drive Haley, yeah. Who's minimalist, yeah. Nuts. I am a hoarder ever since I discovered auction sites.
I have a constant war in my head.
Hmm. Yeah, me, well, I, we're so similar. I buy stuff, right? I accumulate stuff. Yeah. And then I have these terrible guilty feelings where I have to go and throw stuff away.
Uh-huh.
Have I just confessed something? I think I probably have.
Yeah.
So we're the same, Marie.
Yeah. I've had a fairly recent, sort of 3 weeks back, huge bust up with my little boy's dad, which sort of endangers my total security, everything, my world, my life. And my instinct has been to nest and to build even more than ever.
I think that's why people do those things. I think so. I think if you read about it, and, you know, there's lots online about hoarding, I think it happens in response to things that happen to you. I agree. Yeah,
stressful events, it's fight or flight, and I don't run away.
Mm.
I bloody fight.
Well, good for you. And good. We want to hear some music from Wick next time, okay? If there is a next time, if I am gracing this particular show again.
He does everything from Bach, Sound of Silence, in 5 different keys.
Well, it's no good talking about it. We've got to hear him. Hey, Marie, listen, gotta go. Gotta go. Thank you very much for that.
Bye, darling.
Take care. Good night. Good night. That's Marie from South Africa. We've learned a lot about Marie. She's got a paddock nearby. She keeps her phone in her bra. Well, or hanging around her neck, but quite often in her bra, we're told. And she's got a son called Wick who plays music. And I think we've only scratched the surface, really, Hayley.
She's interesting, isn't she?
Oh, I think so, yeah. You know.
Fascinating.
So how's it been for you then, Hayley?
I thought that was fun.
No, I think so, too. It's been what they used to call in Liverpool, it's been a roller coaster. You know, they have those at the fair. You go to the roller coaster. There's been a bit of that. At least because I come from like this news background, you plan everything. So I came in with a list of things, if all else failed, things I was going to talk about.
I bet we never did any of it, did we?
Famous songs that you forgot. Did you achieve your ambition?
Next
have you ever
time.
Met an alien? We'll do that on Sunday night.
Next time.
What was your favourite toy when you were a kid? What was your forgotten song?
Out of time.
And what's Andre Walker got in his programme coming up after us at 1 o'clock? Could be another one of those questions that we randomly throw out there and hopefully randomly get an answer to. Andre Walker, how are you?
I'm really good. Do you know what? I'm so excited. The last time you and I were together, well, not together,
sorry,
but the last time you and I shared the studio for a handover was just before Christmas. I think it might be.
Oh, my God.
But it was when you told me that amazing story that one Christmas, your uncle phoned you up for directions to your dad's house.
He did.
That is unbelievable.
I didn't know that.
Oh, God. Okay, we'll trot this one out again since you asked for it. It's like I'm doing requests now. Okay, let's do it quickly. I was doing this phone-in show in Liverpool, if this is the one we're talking about. And I'm saying, I've got another caller here. Here's Steve. And the guy says, hello there, Howard, it's your Uncle Steve. We've been looking for your dad. Where's he living now? And it's like, my Uncle Steve was in what they call the Merchant Navy. He used to go to sea and he would bring me, when I was like 3, he would bring me toys back from New York when I was tiny.
Wow.
And I hadn't heard Steve's voice for about 30 years.
Genius. I've wasted all my time by asking you that question.
No,
I'm going to tell you, we're going to do a showbiz roundup, which is going to be exciting because I know nothing about showbiz.
Well,
but we've got
learn.
Johnny Seifert.
Seifert.
The talk radio showbiz editor. We're going to be talking a little bit about animal to human transplants and whether they're safe, whether they should be allowed. Obviously, political roundups, because we've had loads about Boris, loads about Trump. We'll be talking about Greenland, because everyone's talking about Greenland this week, and that's kind of about it.
Well, those who are not planning to buy it.
Those who are not planning to buy it. And you know, there was a suggestion that selling Greenland would be like selling Scotland or Wales, and I know a few people who said, that's quite an interesting idea. Sell Donald Trump Wales. Can't do that. That's disgusting.
He's probably in the market and looking for it.
Oh, he'd be well up for it. Well, I mean,
I could put a golf course there. I could do that.
He owns a fair amount of Scotland already, doesn't he? Because those golf courses are pretty big. I've never played golf.
He's got one enormous golf course. But also, I heard him somewhere today. There was a clip of him doing the rounds of him saying, I am the chosen one. I need context for that. I need to know what that's about.
I love that great thing where he's talking about the Bible. Which is your favourite? Which is your favourite part? The Old or the New Testament? About equal. I clearly never read it.
I loved it when they asked him if he believed that aliens were real. And he said, probably not.
probably, you know, there's a probably in there. Well, probably. Who knows?
Maybe
he
definitely.
Could be the disclosure president. Andre Walker here, 1 o'clock on Talk Radio. Thank you for that. Thank you for giving me a chance, Andre, for telling my story.
Oh,
tell my
I
story
love that story. I've told loads of people.
Your Uncle it's Steve. Superb. It's your Uncle Steve here. I mean, it's the last thing I was expecting. I said,
I mean,
Steve.
Live on air.
Well, you know, it's one of those things. You want to talk to him because you want to say, well, you know, I've still got some of those toys you brought back from New York, Steve. And then you're thinking, well, is anybody going to be interested in this? And should I put him in touch with my dad in case he's not Uncle Steve?
Do you know something? This is, it's going to be funny because if there was YouTube around in those days, it would have ended up as YouTube, on YouTube as a blooper, wouldn't it?
It probably would. As would most of my career, I think you'll find, Andre. Andre Walker here from 1 o'clock. My name has been Howard Hughes, The Unexplained, which is that show I do on Sundays. And Haley can't stop me now telling you all about it. We've got loads of stuff on Sunday. We're talking about robots. I think I did mention that with an expert on how the robots might be taking over ultimately. And we all need to be looking out for that. We'll be talking with Linda Moulton Howe, famous American investigative journalist, about some weird, possibly extraterrestrial bits and pieces that are being analyzed. We'll talk about that on Sunday night. And we'll do all of the current news stories, ghost stories, all the other stuff. Hayley Hayes, thank you very much for being part of this.
Pleasure.
And once again, my life has flashed before me. I wish you a good night. Take care.
We are Talk Radio.